Wildtalk.com.
The Wild Talk Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure a show full of passion and excitement.
The Kane's coming.
He's coming! He's coming! Yes, he is! Yes, yes, yes!
WTR brings to you The Rack.
Just so you know, there's no one or no way to protect you now.
Featuring two women bringing to you their opinions.
Everybody's entitled to their opinions.
And their high-pitched squeals about the world of pro wrestling.
The pain and suffering has just begun.
With your hosts.
If any of these ladies misbehave, I give you permission to spank them.
Yeah, I can dig that.
Jackie Feist.
Look at me, woman.
And Lindsay Warwick.
This is one vicious vixen right here.
Now, through hellfire and brimstone, it's The Rack.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Bada bing, bada boom, bada bang!
Everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of The Rack. My name is Lindsay Ward, and I'm, of course, joined by my lovely co-host, Jackie Feist.
Hi.
Hi. And also our awesome producer, Sir Rockin.
What is up, everybody?
And tonight we're also joined by a very special guest to the program. That's right, as advertised, joining us tonight live right here on The Rack is the former three-time WCW champion, the founder of DDP Yoga, and the man who, in the late 90s, made it cool to give yourself a self-high five. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Diamond Dallas Page to the program. Good evening,
hello.
Sir.
This is one of my lay low evenings before I head down to Miami for the festivities of WrestleMania. I'm going to be anybody's listening to this will be in Miami tomorrow night. I don't know exactly where the club is. It shouldn't be too hard to find, but there she's throwing a party. It's some club called, I want to say it's Shenanigans or Ocean something. I'm not exactly sure, but I'm sure if you Google MASH and WrestleMania party, you'll find out where it's at. And looking forward to going around to seeing those boys and having a good time with them tomorrow night. So tonight I'm laying low.
That sounds awesome. How are you feeling tonight? Are you feeling better? Because I know you were sick a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, God, I very rarely ever get sick. I actually was bragging. I think that's what was like the kiss of death because I've gone like 8 years without. Actually, I was sick once in 8 years, and that's when I came back from Afghanistan and turned around and went right back to Iraq. Like 3 days later, someone had fallen out on a trip, and they asked me if I'd go. I was like, yeah, sure. What the hell? And I went back and did it, but when I came home, oh my God, I was leveled in bed for like 6 days. I felt like the Big Show had a hold of my spine and he wouldn't let it go.
Oh no. I'm so sorry.
No, it was a little while ago. And I feel awesome now. Actually, do you remember Van Hammer?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, well, I'm staying in his crib right now. He lives in Boynton Beach. My dad lives up here, so I got to see him today, and we're staying with Hammer in his place. And he has a beautiful, he's up in the third story, and overlooks the Intercoastal, and he's got his little porch outside. It's perfect for the size of my mat. And I went out there and just started playing country music. I had like an hour and a half working out. It was awesome.
That's nice. Fantastic. Definitely a way to get a workout in for sure.
Especially before heading out to WrestleMania.
I know.
All the decadence and alcohol and expensive food out there. You better do one when you come back, too.
Well, I actually, when I go, with the hotel I'm staying at, is where the boys are at. And I am going to be, there's a woman who, she's like the Radar O'Reilly of the WWE, her name is Nicole. And I said, I got a bunch of the boys, you know, because you know that everybody knows that Jericho, I mean, and I love that Punk threw me into his angle today on the thing. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a minute, but, everybody knows that Jericho is doing, DDP Yoga and the Big Red Machine Kane and Santino and Mick Foley. And I'm just hoping someday Mick Foley really continues to keep doing it and someday he can tie his shoes again. I would be really happy if he could do that. But I went to Raw on Monday, and I was in Atlanta, and my buddy, the yoga doc, he's the guy who helped me develop this program years and years ago, and he's a chiropractor, and he's amazing. He really is an amazing doctor, and he works on the boys anytime they're in Atlanta. So whenever I come to Atlanta, I always stay with him. We're like brothers, and you know, we came walking in together, and I wouldn't in the door 40 feet, and Primo grabbed a hold of me like, DDP, you know, Jericho's been in since, you know, they really putting over your workout, and you know, my back, I'm too young. I need to stay ahead of the game. And I'm like, no way, Primo, I'll hook you up. And so I brought a couple with me. I went there an hour and a half, and I'd already given them out to Daniel Bryan, to The Miz, to Ryder, Hawkins. It was like one after Drew McIntyre. It was like one guy, because they'd seen me talking about it, and I never said any guys didn't want it. And then when Chris, sort of like lit the whole thing up, and he looks the best shape he's ever been in. And he's only doing my workout, but he's also eating, which is very, very important to look like Chris Jericho. He's doing the caveman diet. If you can't kill it or grow it or kill it, don't eat it. And
right.
It's obviously working for him.
I know. I took one look at his abs and I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's really impressive. And there's been a lot of people who have noticed that Kane has slimmed down a considerable amount too. But how does it feel to have so many people embracing your movement?
I got to tell you, it's because I've got a lot of football players doing it. I just started getting into MMA. But for the boys to be doing it, for when Chris, and the first person to ever do it was Shawn Michaels. And Shawn actually had the DVDs that I shot in the backyard where people would come by, little kids, and they might be mimicking the DVD he had. There are little kids mimicking me behind, trying to do what I'm doing. And, it's really funny. And then I sent him my first YRG workouts. And then I was at Raw in Vegas and we were doing that little plug that we did for me and Booker did for the very best of Nitro. And, like I said, Sean been doing it, and Sean and I aren't really that tight. It was a friend of both of ours that turned him on to it and sent it to him when he was coming back from the back surgery. So, I was, very thankful to have been a part of that with him. And it's, Sean isn't that kind of person like Jericho where he'll talk about something he really loves, but he did tell the boys all the time and he would bring them to my site. And, it never really turned into anything, but, he was very supportive. And he's the one who told me, he said, Jericho. And he looked around because no one ever wants to say they're hurt, not in our
place.
Right. And he looked around and he goes, listen, nobody wants to say they're hurt, but might be getting a call from Jericho. And I said, yeah. He said, yeah. He said, doctors say he's done. And I told him he should call you. And so I always follow Jericho I had been following him for a while on Twitter. I am Jericho. And if you're a Twitter follower, at Real DDP and at DDP Yoga, that's where you can find me. And I've been following Chris and he always had something funny to say. And, this day he said, just left the acupuncturist and I saw a picture. So I pulled it up and I saw porcupines right down his back, and I've been there.
Because
for some reason, acupuncture never really worked for me, or I didn't have a great acupuncturist, but I have other great people, that are amazing. They kept Humpty Dumpty back together again. But I figured I'm just going to call him. And he's never answered the phone. In a couple of years, I've had his phone number. And he answered his phone. And I go, hey, CJ. And he goes, who's this? I go, it's DDP. He goes, oh, man, I was going to call you. And I was like, yeah, sure, your work. He goes, no, I know about your workout, blah, blah, blah. He goes, I'm feeling better. I got an epidural and, I'm feeling better. And I go, CJ. I go, how old are you now? He goes, 40. I go, you're smarter than that. A epidural is a painkiller, bro. I said, that's not healing you. I said, what I have can heal you, but don't take my word for it. I'm going to send you a video, and that's a disabled veteran, Arthur Borman, who had been walking on canes, knee braces, and a back brace for over 15 years. And he was almost 300 pounds at 5'6". And I saw that video, and you guys saw that video, right?
Yes.
Right. You tell the people, what did you see? You can see it at ddpyoga.com. At ddpyoga.com, you can see Chris talking about, you know, after we got done working out, which is really, after, only after 5 weeks, that me first time we worked out, and he gave me this amazing sound clip. And then the video of Arthur Borman's right there. What did you guys see when you saw the video?
For Arthur, I saw an absolutely amazing transformation. If you haven't seen it, definitely go to ddpyoga.com and check it out. It's just, it's astounding. It was actually one of the reasons why I tried DDP Yoga was I saw that, and it's like, wow. You know, that's proof for the pudding, because, you know, you see so many of these programs, it's like, okay, you know, you kind of doubt it a little bit, but, you know, you see the proof right there in front of you, and it's like, well, if it worked for him, it's got to work for him. I mean, the fact that he's no longer as heavy as he was, he's lost, I think, over 100 pounds, was it?
In that video, he loses 130.
God. I mean, that's amazing.
That's a whole person.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's a whole person.
And he did it in 9 months.
I know. It's like, wow. That's just, I can, you know, I would love to shake his hand just to be like, that's just impressive, man. Well done to you.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said that, because that gave me a little segue here. I do a retreat in Mexico, and every year it gets bigger and more fun. This year we're going to have a blast, and Arthur is coming on the retreat. And I don't know if you've ever seen Stacey Morris, but Stacey was 345 pounds 3 years ago. 18 months into doing my program, and she was a person who came to, I was telling you guys about earlier, about teamddpyoga.com, and people would never believe how accessible I am, because, you know, Twitter, you know, at Real DDP or at DDP Yoga, I answer every Twitter if it's an educated question. If it's something stupid or a restaurant, I'm not answering it. You know, but if it's something educated, I will, you know. But I'm really, like, fan-friendly, always have been like that. But on TeamDDPYoga.com, I come by and actually welcome you. But so will Arthur. So will Stacey. I mean, Stacey lost 185 pounds in 18 months. And she went from being the huge girl to, she looks like she's almost Marilyn Monroe-ish, because she's still really shapely, but she's beautiful. And such a sweetheart, she's coming. I've got so many of my key people that have been so inspirational are coming to this retreat. And I always say DDP Yoga, it ain't your mama's yoga. It could be funny, but real, because, you know, I will might as well segue here. Punk brought it up today that Jericho in his conference he's doing DDP Yoga. It's not even real yoga.
And yeah, I saw that.
No front to DDP or Dal Fajo, nice guy and all that, but whatever. He got out of it. And I'm a guy that, first of all, for him to say that, he's right. That's the biggest thing I always say. It's not real yoga. It's its own animal. And you guys have done it. Would you agree?
Oh, I totally agree.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I mean, just from the get-go, it was so different. It's like, oh, I love this, because I've done yoga for years, and it's just, it's half the time tapes will put you to sleep, and yours actually, you know, gets you up and moving and just enjoying it, and it's actually just a pure pleasure to do the DVDs and the workouts, and it's just fun. And that's what I love about the program.
Thank you so much. I tell you, I'm knocking on wood as I say this, but I had not one DVD. You have 30 days, send it back. You don't like it, send it back. I haven't had one. I have had nothing but crazy positive reviews, but I actually really care, obviously, on so many different levels, because I do, and I've been doing this thing, we'll do it tonight. You put the rack in, that you know that we put it out there. If you put the rack in there, you're going to get 10% off. But guess what? If you put your phone number in there, there's a really good chance I'll call you. Because I want to know how you heard about it. And sometimes I just grab a couple numbers every day, and we're doing very well. I mean, we're so far ahead of our projections. We're building our infomercial right now. I was just with Arthur over this last weekend, and Stacey, and about four different of our really, like, superstars that are just, like, amazing. Not just, you know, that they've achieved this amazing goal. When you see Arthur Borman talk, 5 years later. Like, you look at P90X and Insanity, and I have, those are great workouts. If you're young, if you haven't been beat up, those are awesome workouts because they're going to beat you up. So if you can't take any real impact, you're in trouble. And they're going to be really, really hard. And mine, like in P90X, they've got a 90-minute yoga workout. I'm like, wow, man, I don't even do 90 minutes. You know, except once in a blue moon. And then you're going to get a person first time we're doing 90 minutes? Oh, my God. And when I talk to guys, you know, they'll go, oh, I did that once or halfway. I took it out, and I just skipped that day.
Yeah.
And I just laughed. But my point is Saturday and P90X, it's like you're going to get shredded in 60 days. You're going to get shredded in 90 days. What about 9 months later? Where are you going to be in 9 months? Because you can't do that workout, boom, bang, boom, right after you. You can't diet like that all the way through. You can't live that lifestyle. It's too hard.
Right.
For me, you know, DDP yoga, where are you day one? You take pictures every 30 days. If you go to teamddpyoga.com, you really see the formula. And I come by and welcome you. And I actually put on it, it's the only cut and paste email you'll ever get from me. And that's the truth. But the reason why I want you to read everything I say here, because for one thing, I'm going to ask you to take those pictures. Because everyone who doesn't take them, I just lost 35 pounds in 2 months. Oh, my God, I feel so good. My flexibility's off the charts. Did you take the pictures? Oh, man, I'm so mad at myself. Why did I take the pictures? I go, because you didn't listen to me when I came by and told you. Yeah, I was like, But, you know, a lot of people do take the pictures. And that's why I have such crazy transformations, because it's not just, when I show Arthur's transformation, like at the bar, you know, and I'm just going, this is him at day one. Here, this is him 10 months later. And, like, what you see on the still the long hair and everything, you know, now he's got short hair. I mean, he's a teacher. And for you see the transformation, people can't believe it. And I've got the six, you know, it's frontward, sideward, bent over, all flexibility and strength pictures. And then you get to the end, people are like, I know they're thinking what my 10-year-old nephew was thinking, but he said it. He said, Uncle Paige, that's not the same guy. And I said, really? And he said, really? I said, you think I'd lie to you? He goes, no, but I still don't think that's the same guy. And I said, how about this, Casey? And I pulled pictures up, and this is what I show everybody. I tell them that story, and I show Arthur with the really long hair. And then I show Arthur with the really skinny face and the really long hair. He's about to get his hair cut. And I show, okay, is this him? He goes, well, of course, that's him. And then I flash to the next picture. He goes, oh, wow. And then I flash back to the guy who's heavy with the long hair. And I go, well, I guess. And I flip through the pictures so I get it to him really short hair. I made him grow back his goatee for the filming of the new infomercial. Because with the long hair, you'd never think it was him. He'd be unrecognizable. You know, plus that was 5 years ago. And that, again, is my point, that DDP yoga is a lifestyle. I mean, it's a lifestyle you can do the rest of your life. And if you guys like work out with me, eventually I'm going to take this to the internet. You're going to have to bought the program to qualify for the internet, but that's how I'm going to do that, because I want people to have the base first. But I never do the same workout twice, ever. It's like going out and having a match where you go out there, you just do a completely different match. You know, you might take some of the same moves, or, you know he's going to do this, Cena's going to run through and smash his face into the mat like Sting does. You know, Bret Hart's going to do the sharpshooter here. Joseph's going to do the wall to Jericho. You know, DDP's going to go for the diamond cutter, but it's not in the same order. And it's, mixed up with other moves and, hoo-hahs. And it's what I do in the workout. And it's so funny when Jericho came and worked out with me in my house, and then we, I got that sound bite for him where he said, DDP's yoga changed my life. And then said how he's addicted to it and all that. I was like, wow. I'm holding, he said, how does it feel? I'm holding the camera. And I'm like going, wow, he's really saying that? Wow, that is so cool of him. So then he came back like 3 months later, and you can catch it on my YouTube. And you know, my YouTube is, I can't even have Dallas Page, because someone had Dallas Page and had Diamond Dallas Page, and by accident, I thought I wrote in Dallas Page. I wrote in Dalla Page, so it's D-A-L-L-A Page. So that's my my YouTube site. But on the I did a breakfast with me and Chris Jericho, and we went and worked out first, and we just showed about a minute and a half of the workout, and then we went to have me making breakfast with gluten-free pancakes and eggs, and my buddy Moser filming it, and he's a comedian. It was really funny, and Chris was so funny in the video. But on the way there, he's like, so which workout are we going to do today? We're going to do, like, strength builder or stand-up or diamond cutter. And I was like, it's funny, dude, because I don't ever do the same workout. He goes, what do you mean? I mean that I want to watch you, see where you are, see how far you've come. I'm going to challenge you up to your point, but I'm not going to push you past that limit, except for places I think you want to be pushed to get to. He goes, really? I said, yeah, it's sort of like, you know, for the old timers who call a match from A to Z, they never talk about it. He goes, really? I go, really, man? And so I never get ever bored. And that's why I set these workouts up, so you can always interchange them. So it, you know, it always changes up. So instead of really having 10 workouts, you really probably have like 30 if you change them up, all the different ways that they can be changed up.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the awesome thing about it is, you know, if you haven't ordered it, it comes in the individual DVDs. And then what's really cool about it is, you've incorporated the book with it, the guide for the system, and I love the fact that it had recipes in it. The rosemary chicken's actually my favorite. I made it the other night, and it was awesome. But one of the things I did have a question for you was, since you are the guru, is how can you incorporate other exercises into the yoga system? Because I live out in Utah, and I love to go hiking and bike riding when the weather's nice, and it's starting to get nice. So, you know, is there a certain amount of that I should limit that to, or can I do as much of that as I like to? Or,
well, you know, for me, and I really don't think, well, first of all, my workout, you could, I would do 3 hours, 2.5 hours to 3 hours every TV. Because when I was rehabbing back, I did 3 hours a day. So it doesn't really matter how much. So if you're doing hiking and working this in, like, do you guys have the MP3s? Which is another thing I always tell people that you get. Did you get that over the mail? Because I know it got sent to you, and if it didn't, I'll make sure it does again. Did you get the MP3s you could stick in your iPod?
I did, and they are loaded into the iPod. Yes.
Awesome. So, I mean, if you know a particular workout good enough, you don't really, you know, you don't really look up anymore, except for once in a blue moon. You sort of like, just listen to me, you know, because you know what's coming up next. If you don't know. So if you're like, I know people who go hiking, you know, or go to the beach, whatever, and do it there, you know, or, you know, maybe do ride bike. And for people who are like bodybuilders who still love the, you know, like, I've got a couple guys who are just real, like, crazy studs, and they still love to lift weights, but they hate cardio. So what they do is they lift their weights, and then this becomes their cardio, core strengthening and flexibility conditioning. And they do, like, anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour. So a combination of weight and that works. I'm working with a couple pro football players. The main guy, or the biggest name, would be the fullback, starting fullback of the San Francisco 49ers. He's 24 years old. He's 6'3", 260. Now, you think that this, I mean, he's a stud. He can bench 315 15 times.
Wow.
But, when I get him on the mat, his core strength is a fragment of mine. And when I took him through the stuff and showed him where he was weak and explained to him, if you start to train like me, and I only, back to pretty much an hour and a half is the longest I ever go. No, it's an hour and 20 minutes or to an hour and five, hour and 10, hour and 20, longest for me when I'm by myself. And that's only like 2 or 3 days a week. The other days I might work out with someone for 15, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. You know, I like to work out with different people because I can always make my workout challenging no matter what. And
right.
For him, I was like, if you had the conditioning that I have, what could you do? Because there was this one point where we get to the end, and you know, I do 10-second push-ups and some of the workouts. And if you can't do that, you stay up in plank. If you stay in plank for 30 seconds or 60 seconds, that's a long time. You know, your arms are shaking and everything. But if you're going up and down, that's even a whole different level. And for him, I want, because this is a stud. I know benches 315, 15 times. I want to see where he's at when it comes to his stamina on a 10-second push-up, where people are listening. You lower for 10 till you're 3 inches off the ground. Then you hold for 10, then you come up for 10, then you come down for 10, you go to like, baby, stop. And if you're a real stud, I'm going to test you. So the first time down, when we're holding for 10, in my extreme workouts, which is why another reason why I changed the name from YRG, as just the staple YRG, to DDP Yoga, because there are YRG workouts, and then there's DDP Psycho Extreme workouts. And in the Psycho Extreme workout, when I lower for 10, I kick my feet up in the air, and then I take micro psycho push-ups, right, go up and down 3 inches while you're in the lower position. And
wow.
Bruce looked over at me like, what the hell is he doing? You know? And then I brought my feet down and I held, you know, and then I came up for 10. And then we came down and I go, don't worry, I'm not doing it again. And we kept counting and then we went up. And then on the third one, he was crashing and he went down. I went, get on your knees, dude. We're not done. And I took up the 5 o'clock. I said, just so you know, I can do 8 of those. You know? And I explained to him, you're only as strong as your weakest link. If you train like I train and you do your other stuff too, because mine isn't going to deplete you. If you wear the heart monitor, now do you guys wear a heart monitor?
Yes.
Very important.
Yes.
Do you stay in your zone?
Usually it takes me, it depends on the day, but some days I can get into it quicker than others. And then once I get into it, it's pretty easy to keep. But when I come to the push-ups, it was a little bit of a challenge. It still kind of is. I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit this, well, maybe a little bit, but I couldn't do a push-up before I did this, and now I can. So.
I love that. I love that. You know, my girlfriend, Angie, she's in it. She's the black girl that's in the videos.
Okay,
she looks
beautiful.
Like a superhero. she looks like a damn superhero, but that girl could not do a push-up on her knees. Believe it or not, that girl is a girly girl. And she was 40 pounds heavier than that when she started. And then she just, like, I have a picture of her day one, and she's thick. She still looks good, but she's thick. 6 months later, she's 40 pounds down, and she looks like a damn superhero. But 6 years later, she looks better than ever. And that's what's happened. I have another woman named Stacey Tillman, and she's going to be one of the, like, we've got these action shots, but they're slow motion and the sweat's like popping off them and stuff. And she looks unbelievable. She looks as sexy as any woman I've ever seen. And she's girl next door. And she just pops. But she 5 years ago, she started this program 5 times. And she talked about this in, you know, because we asked her, what made you finally do it? And whether you don't know that she started and stopped 4 times. On the 5th time when she started and she nailed it, and now it's 5 years, 4.5 years later, she looks better than ever. And she's held it because it became a lifestyle for her. But what moved her to action was the fact that her daughter came home crying. She was like maybe 8 at the time. And she's like, Mommy, my friends think you're pregnant. You're not pregnant, are you? Oh, okay, you know what that's like for a woman. You know women that's happened to. Like, hey, congratulations. For what? Well, you're pregnant, right? No.
No.
Oh, God. You know, so it's your daughter saying that to you. She was like, okay, that's it. I'm done. And she, you know, and she was just thick. She wasn't really heavy. You know, she's only 40 pounds. And, you know, and now she just looks amazing. But, you know, she works it. And, you know, she, and when she, before that, she had no man. three kids she was, three girls she was raising. Now she's got a guy, the handsome son of a bitch, who just loves her. And so she's now a whole different woman. And that's really, really cool.
That's awesome to hear. Now, speaking of your infomercials, we also heard a rumor that you might be joining forces with Trish Stratus on a project. Is that true?
You know, it's funny she put that out there her movie. She was doing, I guess, the PR for her movie that she had just done. And she said, yeah, DDP, we're talking about doing something, blah, blah, blah. And I wanted to come up and go to her studio. And I'm going to be in Toronto to do a wrestle reunion up there on the 13th. I think it's the 13th, whatever that Saturday is. So I'm going to stay for this wrestling show that's on Monday. So I just sent her a thing. I said, Trish, you want me to come in on Sunday? I'll do a seminar. And then we sort of got screwed up with the dates and nothing really came of it. So, and I sent her again, mm-hmm. Listen, now it's almost too late to try and do something because I had people who wanted to, come over and do it and it would, we got people into her place that probably would never have come. I don't know if I would pick up many real yogi people because of my whole black sheep, your mama's yoga. I don't know how that would get over, but I know once this blows up huge, that it'll get over. And there's a guy named Brian Kest who I think is one of the best yogis and yoga instructors on the planet. And he's so cool. If you ever get to L.A., make sure you let me know because I'll tell you exactly where his place is in Santa Monica. But this cat is so cool that he doesn't have a sign outside. And you've got to walk up the stairs and it's this huge, like, you can tell he probably pays next to nothing for it. He's been up for 15 years, but he doesn't, he doesn't charge anything. It's, it's donation only. And I'm sure he makes a lot of money because when he's teaching, there's 100+ people in there and it's butts to butts there. It's crazy.
Wow.
And, it's really wild. I mean, I've seen as many as probably 140 in this room and he don't do it with you like I do. He talks you through it, but he's funny. And he'll keep you in a position for quite a while. But I really like him. He's the guy that I saw that sort of, he was regular guy enough and still was a yogi for me. And, he's just a really cool cat. We become, not buddies, but we become friends. And he saw what I was doing and how I wrote that book, Yoga for Regular Guys, and which was really like, the man show version of what I thought yoga was with hot looking women or regular guys. But remember, get them in my audience. I'm trying to grab guys in that wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga. And and now I have women who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga because, there's a lot of them too. There's no way I'm doing yoga. I thought it was horrible. And they do mine and go, oh my God, I love this. And so I know there's a percentage of the yogis out there that don't consider themselves yogis or do, but really aren't into the, the whole, the spiritual mumbo jumbo, as I call it, that would rather do that kick ass workout. And I think out of the 20 million, I think it's at least 10 to 20%, which is quite a few million people.
Right.
that would cross over and check this out. But Brian Kest, he said, my friend, he goes, I believe you're the doorway to yoga. And I believe it. In the beginning, I thought, what? You're saying that? I go, can I quote you? Because he's like one of the most respected yogis on the planet. But he's the same guy that when he did power yoga, he's the one who made power yoga famous. And, or shouldn't I say everybody started doing it. but when he did that, his masters or whatever, his people who trained him, everybody looked down like, what is he doing? That's not yoga, And so, he's the guy who says, F you to all the yoga associations and stuff, the certification. He's like, F you. I had nothing to do with you. I do what I want to do, and he doesn't go to any of their, he's his own rebel. I love the guy. He's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a shame that, he's getting stereotyped or pegged into this whole, you know, when he wants to do his own thing.
Not today, but when he first started, it was. And so he, you know, I'm like the best black sheep of this now. But a lot of the real yogis, they love what I'm doing. The ones that are the snobs, they go, it's not yoga. And I go, you're right. And now I can say, that's what punk says.
You got to get him doing it, though.
You know, when I get him alone, I will say, one time, bro, me and you. Yeah, there's a guy who works really, really hard in the ring, and I think that you know, he's pretty smart at, you know, keeping his body on top of things. So he may be one of those guys like me in the beginning who didn't tell anybody. You know.
So speaking of Punk and speaking of wrestling, I actually have a question for one of our chatters. Are your DVDs going to be on sale at Access at all? Because she's going to be down there, and she's wondering if she could pick up a set.
You know, I'm actually going to have some with me. I was bringing them to give to the boys, but, you know, I have quite a few copies on me. So if she can find me, I'll tell you, I'll have some with me at Nash's thing on the Save the Shipping.
Yeah.
So I'll have some with me there. And I don't know how long they're going to last, though, you know, as far
right.
as... Yeah, because once I get to see some of the guys, they just started coming up to me, and I was like really blown away. You know, like even Miz started talking to me about it, and I was like, dude, I give it to you, but if you don't do the work, I'm going to be pissed. I just don't take it from me because I don't want to give it to you if you don't want to do it. No, I want to do it. I was like, all right. And now I got to remember, Miz was like my driver when I got to L.A. And when I was doing a little bit of, I think I was just getting ready to do something in, I can't remember if I was getting ready to do TNA or not. Yeah, it was. I was getting ready to do TNA back then. And he would come and take me to this guy, Rick Bassman. He's done a lot of stuff for wrestling on the West Coast. He's the guy who discovered Sting and Warrior. And not much older than them, not the same age, yeah. And put them together originally. And he's the one who really got, you know, Cena a lot of time, too, when he was the prototype. He had UPW then. And, Rick, I was using his school and his ring, and he had Miz come by and get me. And then I said, hey, man, why don't you come in for a beer? Nash is coming over, and Stone Cold was living with me. And he, like, walked in like, what?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I was pretty funny.
That's awesome, man. I can imagine what that would have been like, walking the door, and there's Stone Cold sitting on the couch, and Nash walks in the door, and you're like, whoa, okay.
Yeah. That's, you know, we all started together when we were all nothing. You know, we're all bottom. You know, those, me and Nash were the bottom. Austin was around the middle at that time. But, you know, we used to, tape all the matches, then we'd go back to the room. God, I wish I didn't overtape. That was, oh my God. I had Steve Austin before he became Steve Austin, because he would always do color, and he would impersonate like Gordon Solie and, you know, and all that. That's where that started. And then he went to ECW and he refined it. And then, of course, when he finally got his chance, you know, just 316'd your ass, you know, whooped your ass, you know, and then he became that guy. That was a really interesting turn.
Well, speaking of the past, we actually have a question about WrestleMania 6, if you don't mind.
No, of course not.
We actually interviewed Trish a couple weeks ago, and she's talking about working last year's WrestleMania, and we knew that you were part of WrestleMania 6, and that's not an often talked about appearance for you. And for those of you that don't know, DDP drove Honky Tonk's pink Cadillac to the ring. What was that like for you to be such a part of a huge event like that? And were you part of the WWE at that point, or was it just a one-shot deal?
Well, I didn't get the gig. The car did, and I owned the car. And I had a nightclub in Fort Myers, Florida, that the boys, a lot of them would come by, you know. I mean, I knew Jake Roberts, you know, from the club. I knew Teddy DiBiase from the club, you know, because they'd come in, and I'd always, you know, look out for them. And, you know, so I think the Bushwhacker, somebody had said something about, you know, the kid from the AWA, you know, he's got a 62 pink Cadillac, and I think that would be great. And so Pat Patterson called me, and he said, you know, what about the car? Can we get the car? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, can I drive it? Oh, sure. So I threw those rhinestone glasses on, and, you know, that was the first time I ever talked to Hulk Hogan. And, he came up to me and started talking to me. And what was really funny is when he came into, WCW, and, you know, Hulk watches everybody, you know, because back in the day, he was always seeing, who can I draw money with? And he came up to me in a tour. We'd been on tour for about 7 days. And I was the opening curtain jerker with Hacksaw and Jim Duggan. And when I walked through the curtain after my match, he grabbed me and pulled me over. And he goes, you know, I don't know how you're doing it, but whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, I was watching that match. He goes, I've watched the last couple nights. He goes, every night you do something different. You pop up, you make people believe. I don't see you on TV that often. He goes, I guess they'd keep you out in the road working like this, huh? You know, getting your craft down. I said, Hulk, this is the first show, house show that I've been on in 3 months. The only reason I'm on this show in Germany is because my last real name is Falkenberg. And the Krauts love their Germans, and I got a smoking hot wife that walks me to the ring. I said, that's the only reason I'm here. And he said, well, how do you keep getting so much better? I said, well, I learned that, you know, they weren't going to do anything with me right now, and I'm getting ready to leave here. I'm going to ask my release, and, you know, Kevin Nash, he's one of my best friends. He's a world champ. I want to just get a tryout. Now, they ain't going to do anything with me here. I mean, I've been going out of power plant. I train the guys, and, you know, I realized they're not going to, you know, wrestling's like playing the guitar. If you don't play the guitar all the time, you never learn how to play the guitar, really. Same thing with wrestling. You don't wrestle all the time, you never get any good. So I would go down every time day I was off, I would go down to the power plant, and I realized, and this really applies to absolutely everything, the more you train someone else, the more you learn. The more right. you learn, the better you get. And that's what I was doing. He said, well, I don't understand that psychology because, you know, there was territories when Hulk came up. So you could learn in one territory after another. I mean, the first time Hulk Hogan ever went in the ring, Matsudo broke his ankle run him off. Oh, that's a true story. To run him off. And after his ankle healed, he came back. So right there, he had respect that he came back.
Right.
Because back then, they wouldn't just run you off. Obviously, they'd beat you up, you know, and see what you would take. Long story short is, you know, he said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Because it's not today or next year. And, you know, somewhere down the line, you and I could draw big money together. And that's why I said, well, listen, Hulk, I really, that blows my mind. But, you know, I'm not going to stay here. I'm asking Eric for my release. And he grabbed me later that night, put me and Eric in a room and said, you need to do something with it. And that's how I started getting, like, not being, like, out in left field. You know, and that's where I started in 94 to get some sort of, you know, nothing, but at least something. And, you know, you always think you're ready when you're not. And it's really amazing how when I look at my career, when I got my shot, I was finally ready.
Well, a reminder for the fans that are listening, for the next 24 hours, you can still go to ddpyoga.com and use the promo code THERACK and save 10% off your purchase of DDP Yoga. But since we're talking about, you know, Kevin Nash and Eric Bischoff, this coming Monday, we're looking at 11 years since WCW closed its doors. So I just wanted to ask, what are some of your favorite memories from your time there?
Oh, God, I've had a lot of them. I got to remember, I was the anomaly. I was never supposed to happen. For just the way I came into the business and became a world champion who drew on major pay-per-views, you know, I mean, major pay-per-views. It was so funny. I got a segue this. Now, I don't really ever put over what any retard on the internet writes on a comment, but this one kid who obviously didn't know his, you know, a wrist lock from a wristwatch said that I was always a big fish in a small pond. And I just had to, like, go, because, you know, I didn't work with anybody of any substance, like Hogan, Savage, Nash, Hall, Goldberg, Perfect. I mean, are you kidding me? Some of the biggest names of all time I wrote back on and say, and we were, I believe we beat the hell out of the WWE for two straight years when I was on top. Are you kidding me? Big fish in a small pond. I said, you really are a monkey. You know, got out of it. But, being there and coming up the way I did, that's why they really wanted me to host the very best of Nitro, which is, from what I understand, still the second best selling DVD in the last 2.5 years, almost 3 years now. Steve might have changed that. I haven't heard it in his receipts yet from his DVD. But doing that and watching all that on the very best Nitro, going through that, you know, there were so many things behind the scenes. I'll tell you a story that, yeah, I've probably told a few times. Working with Randy was really, really amazing on so many levels, because really before the NWO happened, the biggest name was Hulk Hogan and then Randy Savage. No contest, you know, until the NWO exploded. So to be working without an iconic name like that, and him asking to work with me, you know, which was really cool, we were in Florence, South Carolina. The, I want to say it was like the Thursday or Friday before the pay-per-view. And we had done nothing but one smosh finish after another every night, every time we're working, coming into that first pay-per-view. And, me and Randy in the locker room, and Arn Anderson, the agent, came in. And back then, no one said, okay, Randy, here's what you're going to do tonight. They'd walk in and go, so Randy, what do you want to do tonight? You know, he was like Hulk. He had total control, creative control, and he looked up and he went, little Arn, I think I want to take the diamond cutter. Yeah. Me and Arn just like looked at each other and, all right, Diamond, I hope you, realize, that's how much honor this is. I went, yeah, Arn, I do. You know, so we go out there and we were so hot. That's when they would, you know, put a Nitro on sale, and in 7 minutes, it was sold out. And right. Every house show we went to, you couldn't get into. And we still play those buildings, but this one was only like 8,000 people. So you couldn't, it was like 1,000 people couldn't get in. So the crowd was literally white hot. And we went out there and we just tore it down, and Randy whooped my ass, you know, because he was revved up, man. He was a huge live wire. And so you had to come back with it, and, you know, he just got some awesome heat on me. The crowd was chanting DDP so loud, and I'd fight back, and he'd shut me off. I'd fight back, and he'd shut me off, and then I threw that big comeback, and they went crazy, and then he shut me down and looked around and went to slam me, and I turned into a diamond cutter, and I thought the roof exploded. I mean, it was like total pandemonium. People were going crazy, and it just kept lasting and lasting and lasting. We're both laying there. He's on his back, I'm on my stomach. And I crawl over, and I just throw my arm over his chest, and the entire building chant, 1, 2, 3. And then it was like a moment of silence, and then an eruption. And it's so effing loud in there. And it was like a cone of silence came over me and Randy. And with all the crazy people going screaming and jumping around like I won the Super Bowl or something. And I hear, Will, I guess we got our finish for Spring Stampede. And I could hear him crystal clear. I'm thinking to myself, really? He just wanted to see how people were going to pop. You know? But that was a test before we did it, you know, and it meant something. Our show, you didn't make out cameras, don't mean anything.
the proving ground for all house shows.
Yeah. So that was amazing. Of course, you know, becoming a world champion. I was the oldest crowned world champion ever at 43, and just happened to segue back into DP yoga because, you know, I'm a guy who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga the last 42 years of my life. But, you know, when your career takes off at 40 and you get hurt at 42 and they say you're done, not like they told Chris Jericho, he was done, you know, and you come back and you defy all the odds. And so, and I never realized how important the workout was that I was doing. I never realized that it would become my life. But I mean, what a defining moment. You know, as Diamond Dallas Page, the wrestler, I would say this, and I stole this line from, Bull Durham. And it was said by Kevin Costner, and he said, when a defining moment comes along, you either define the moment or the moment will define you. And that was a seriously defining moment for me, you know, and to come back, and you had to see a doctor's face when he saw after 3 months when I come back and what my body was doing already. He was flabbergasted. He's never seen anything like it. So I knew that my workout really meant something, but I didn't really think it would do what it is today. But when I look back, it was really an amazing defining moment at 42 to be told, I'm done, it's over. And then at 43, in less than 3 months, to come back and be, you know, the heavyweight world champion. You know, that,
right.
In a match with Hogan, Sting, and Flair to take the Diamond Cutter in the middle. I mean, I couldn't be with any bigger stars than those at the time, unless Steve was going to come back, you know, jump back in the ring over there.
Right.
That would have been it. Him and Undertaker. That's the only two other guys that would have really qualified with those five guys. You know, and Nash and Hall, of course, and Luger. But, it's pretty amazing, you know. So to live that dream, another moment was I walked in the locker room, and there's Hulk. They were dressed in the same locker room, and he had his knee braces down on the ground. He just looked like that old beat-up warrior, man. When I walked in, it was sort of like, I walked in, he said, I love it. You know, it's a guy like you that everyone thought was a joke would work so hard that you change everybody's mind. You work so hard that you could become the world champion and really be that guy. He said, that's what this business is supposed to be. And it's right. I gave him a big hug. It was cool. Really cool time.
That sounds like a really cool moment.
Well, since we are at WrestleMania weekend, let's kind of go back to that topic for just a second. You also worked WrestleMania 18 with Christian, Toronto Sky Dome. Tell us a little bit about that, especially with you having to deal with Rock Hogan being on the card.
Well, you know, I was actually a mark for that match. I was, you know, I couldn't believe how the people just, you know, took Hogan and like, forget you, Rock. And I think, you know, Rock couldn't have been any hotter at the time either. So I just showed you, but it was like the perfect place for Hogan to come back because the Canadians love Hogan. I mean, he can still come back right now. Whatever he is, close to 60, 58 years old or whatever he is, 59 years old. And they'd still go crazy for him like it was back in the day because they love him. And it's funny because Rock's going to be in that same position that Hulk was in coming back to Miami. I mean, he couldn't have written that story any better. For Christian, you know, what I ended up doing, it was close to my last day at WrestleMania. It was only a couple weeks after that I was done and out of there because I took that bad bump on my neck. But the day I got to the WWF and WrestleMania were my two finest moments in that company. And Christian, I absolutely loved to work with because, first of all, we're in Canada. All he's got to do is play to the fans and our psychology, the match is ruined. He'll be the baby face and I may be the heel. Where I was a baby face, I thought he was the heel, but he knew his role. And he went out there and played it perfectly. And everywhere we went, he did the same thing. And I loved working with him. And he gave me the sanity walking out of there, saying, I knew I could still tear it down. You just got to work with me. If you don't work with me, it's a little tough, you know. Fred can't really dance without Ginger. You know, you got to have, you know, someone out there that's working with you. And Christian really, really worked well with him, you know. And I think it would have been completely different with me and Taker if I would have come in at a different time. Because our styles actually did complement each other. But there was just so much tension walking in there that I didn't even know existed. until I got there.
Right.
And like, you know, it's funny because I've met, you know, people say, so what do you think about blah, 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 try to ruin your career? I'm like, what? I was there for like 4 months. I said, what are you talking about, ruin my career? My career was stellar, man. No one did what I did. I said, what team did Michael Jordan play for? The Bullets or the Wizards? I mean, the Bulls or the Wizards? You know, and they go, well, the Bulls. No kidding, you know. My career was all in WCW. To be able to come to a WrestleMania, that was my one real goal, to work a WrestleMania, because there's nothing like it, man. You know, there were 68,000 people where, you know, where we were in Canada. I don't know how many thousands are going to be here, but I know it's going to be humongous, you know, and the crowd is going to be crazy hot. And, you know, the build up to it, you know, it's just a spectacle. It's Roman gladiator days. And if you really look at the gladiators, that's what we were, you know, that's what we are. You know, the gladiators, the top guys never got killed. They killed the boy lower guys. They got killed, you know, but the top guys, they didn't get killed because they had to draw the house. You know, same thing with our stuff, you know, and, you know, for me, you know, and being able to experience it was awesome, man. And that I have the same unbeaten streak that Undertaker has right now. I believe it's me, Taker, RVD. There's a couple other guys that are undefeated. And he may not have that. He may not have that moniker, you know, Monday. But yeah, it's funny because I picked Triple H this entire time. And then I've been hanging with Dan Hammer last couple of days, and he actually came up with an amazing finish that had Taker on top. I was like, wow.
Awesome.
I'll tell you what, I'm switching. I'm over to Taker now. that match is literally a coin toss. I'll tell you that the thing that I'm really interested to see, of course, is Punk and Jericho, but I think that's going to be an awesome match. There's a lot of really great matches on the card. This one, I think, could be one of the best, has the potential to be one of the best WrestleManias in a long time. The whole Cena Rock thing, I think both of those guys were shooting under promo on Monday.
Wow.
And, you know, well, think about it. I have to win. You don't think either one of those guys really thinks that?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, listen to their promos. You know, I was backstage, and, you know, and all I know is everyone said that over this entire run, and I don't know if Brock and Cena are really best friends somewhere, but I don't think so. You know, and they're sure playing it like they ain't, because they never talk when I understand nothing. And in their own little world, you know, when it comes to that, and Cena's like, he's one of the boys. I mean, he's around with all the guys, so, you know, they're all his crew, those guys that are there, you know. And to me, The Rock doesn't have to win. He's transcended wrestling. You know, if you look back at The Rock's career, and this pisses me off about some of these jerk-offs that listen to what I say here and then take DDP says, The Rock can lose. He'll lose, and he's lost plenty of times before. What I said was The Rock's lost a lot of matches and stayed over so strong. A lot like, you know, Jake Roberts lost a lot of matches. Scott Hall lost a lot of matches. Diamond Dallas Page lost a lot of matches. Stayed over really strong. Rock, you know, he never had to, like, win. You know, he just needed to entertain. And this match here, you know, unless he's coming back next year, and it's like signed, sealed, and blood, you know, where he's got to, I can't imagine Cena not winning. I can't imagine it.
So Cena is your pick for the winner?
Yep. That's my pick. And only because The Rock, I mean, come on. Cena, wait, I mean, he's done what every guy would love to do, what Hulk tried to do. I mean, Rock is, you know, he is one of the biggest superstars in the world, and he's ours.
Right.
You know, we bring in all these superstars. I've wrestled plenty of them. You know, from Malone to Rodman. you know, Leno. You know, a lot of people really liked that match, you know, with Leno. Leno worked really hard. It was hard, you know, he was horrible, but he was at least entertaining, you know. And
he gave it the good old college try.
He did, you know, he did. He made it entertaining, you know, it was what it was. But it got super, super, you know, made me a household name for a while, though, you know. And it was between that and, you know, it was on the Tonight Show 7 times between, you know, the Malone thing and the Leno thing. You know, 7 times in 2 months. I don't know many people who did that. That's what Dusty Rhodes said. He goes, when I watched you walk out there, he didn't know. I was watching the Tonight Show. But we walked out there, me and Malone, with Rodman and Hogan are at the seat, and Jay Leno in the middle. And he just remembered that kid from Fort Myers, Florida, who came up there looking for a job as a manager in Florida Championship Wrestling. And it wasn't 9 years. And let's see. That was 89. That was it. It was 9 years.
Wow. You know? So if I can, what was... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was stopped.
I just wanted to know, what was the atmosphere like on Monday backstage?
It was actually really great. It was great, you know. It was funny because where I was, Punk was at, and Randy was around there a lot, and that's where the trainers are. And the guys who really take care of their bodies, getting stretched out and getting ready to go. And Daniel Bryant was around there, and it was very, you know, very, very cool. And it's a different atmosphere than when I came in there, you know, from the guys who try to put them guys out of business. Now, you know, every one of those guys pretty much grew up watching me. You know, and they watched me at the height of my career. So, you know, we just, you know, a mutual respect for everybody there. And now the guys really just want to, you know, just they see what I've done with, you know, Kane and Santino and Jericho, of course. And now the other guys come on. So if 30 guys start the program and 10 really stick with it, wow, you know, that's awesome. It'll still multiply from there.
Well, speaking of Kane, since you brought up Kane, we actually were able to get through some channels a quote from him. He has, it's been, you know, very publicly talked about that he has used your system. And here's what he's had to say about DDP yoga. He says he loves how it incorporates isometrics with stretching. And he went out of his way to say that you have an effervescent personality, which is perfect for this kind of system. So he really believes in it.
That's awesome. That's awesome that you got that, period. Because I don't even have a quote for him. I don't even have a quote for him. So that's awesome. I'll use that one. You know, and he gets that part. Because, you see, that's the whole thing when I talk about which zero impact and kick-ass cardio. It's only kick-ass cardio because I'm engaging the muscles. And if you really think about it, and this is something I've done a million interviews in the last couple months, and it just hit me that when you run, your heart rate's not coming up because you're thinking you're running. You're using every muscle. When your toes hit the ground, so does the ball of your foot, so does your heel, and then it comes back up again, but so does your shin, your calf, your quads, your glute. Your core is moving, your obliques, your entire abdominals are moving, your arms are moving, your biceps, your triceps. Now, you're not engaging, but you're being forced to engage in your lower body, and just to be able to keep yourself toned, you will engage a little bit. So every time you move or engage a muscle, your heart has to beat faster to get the blood to the muscle.
Right.
That's what my workout is. When you combine actually what I call dynamic resistance, which is the engaging of muscles as you move from one position to another, is really called isokinetics. Isometrics, isokinetics. But isokinetics can be way too hard for people to understand. So I just call it dynamic resistance. And like what I'll do, and it's right to the boys on Santino didn't wear a heart monitor. So I'm at ringside, right? And all the boys are all around talking, you know, blah, blah, shooting the day, whatever they're going to do, whatever. And I said to him, I said, so, bro, do you wear a heart monitor? just, you know, I know where my heart rate's at, and, you know, I'm doing really good. I put it up on the balcony when we were in Puerto Rico on the beach. I put it on the balcony. I did it out there on the balcony in the sunset. It was beautiful. And I said, but do you wear a heart monitor? He goes, nah, you know, I'm going to get one, but I said, let me show you something. And I think I'm wearing the heart monitor around my chest, and I point the watch. I said, do you see what's beeping right there? He goes, yeah, 84. I said, that's my heartbeat right now, 84 beats a minute. I said, now watch this. Now, you know what ignition is. I'm going to flex my quads. I'm going to pull my legs together isometrically, but not move them because they're 8, 10 inches apart. So I'm working that adductor muscle. Now I'm going to tuck my tailbone and squeeze my glutes. And I don't say this on the video, but every time I say it live, I say, ladies, if you want to really hold back the hands of time, squeeze your glutes. And I go, guys, just pretend you're in the joint. You'll get the picture. So that always gets a laugh just like that. And I said at the Santino, and he popped. And then I said, now I want you to imagine your body's a fire hydrant, and I want you to feel the fire hydrant open up from your chest to your arms. And what would happen with a hose? Your fingers would fly open. So I said, Santino, grab the outside and wrap it around my hand. He goes, God, it's like steel. I said, exactly. I said, when you're engaging, you're spreading your fingers wide. Now I'm going to move with resistance. I'm at ringside, and I'm doing touchdown into diamond cutter and touchdown into diamond cutter. Like, I don't know what guys are thinking. I didn't care. You know, doing that diamond cutter thing at the ringside, right? How ridiculous. Then hulking up. And then attention. And I go, Santino, what does my heart rate? I only lifted my arms 4 times, 2 touchdowns, 2 diamond cutters. I said, what does my heart rate say? My God, this is 136. How did you do that? I said, you're doing it. You just don't know because you're not wearing the heart monitor. Once you wear the heart monitor, it changes everything. It was so funny. I was filming the infomercial. I was telling you about Stacy. You know, she is striking, you know, for some of the stuff that we were doing. She looks so beautiful. Not the woman who lost 185 pounds. The girl lost 40 and kept it all for 5 years. But we're getting her, you know, jacked up and getting her pumped up by doing, you know, the diamond cutters and the touchdowns and just getting her, you know, when you get the blood pumping. And her husband's sitting there, and he's never done the workout. And because, you know, oh, yeah, it's yoga, blah, blah, blah. When he hears her heart rate's like 139, 146, she's standing still. He's going, seriously? Really? I go, come here. Are you nuts? Because she never wore the heart monitor. It like changed everything. She had been the last couple of weeks, but she hadn't been doing it before that. And she goes, oh my God, my results would have been so much faster. I said, I know. I'm trying to tell you. Yeah, don't take the pictures and don't wear a heart monitor and you'll get results, but way slower. So that was funny. So now tomorrow I got like 5 of them, you know, and I'm going to be at the hotel, and you know, some of the big boys will show up. You know, some of the, I know Ezekiel Jackson. He just sent me a text. That guy's got like 23 inch arms. So I'll be really interested. Yeah, it's humongous, humongous. I know Hawkins, he texts me, and Bryant texts me. So we'll see how many guys show up tomorrow. I don't care if there's 1 or 2 guys or 10 or 15. You know, whoever shows up, you know, I'll get it with them, get them locked in, maybe, you know, the heart rate monitor so they can see. And it'll be a great workout, but it'll also be a great time for these guys to really tone in, and then they'll have, like, a leg up like Jericho has.
Right. That's amazing. That sounds awesome.
You'll have to see when you get to WrestleMania. You just try to see about getting Undertaker into yoga.
I actually went up to him. Might have been about 9 months ago, a year ago. And I was after WrestleMania. So I was like, maybe like 9 months. And I was just like, I said, you know what I'm doing. I just want you to know, if you ever need anything from me, what you got to do is pick up the phone or text me, dude. You know. And I appreciate that, Dave. So he didn't ask me. So, yeah, but there wasn't Jericho at that time, and Kane wasn't doing it at that time. So maybe at some point, you know, if I would really, because he's going to have the hip replacements, there's like no question. if he was like maybe 6'4" or 6'3", maybe not. But I still would think, because he's done so much crazy stuff, you know, in the ring, out of the ring. But he's 6'9", and all that wear and tear on his hips. You know, Lex has had to have 2 hip replacements.
Oh, my.
So Piper's had to have at least 1. Hogan's had to have at least 1. I think Hogan's had 2. You know, so Taker's definitely going to have them, you know. So I would love to have helped him rehab going in, or prehab, and then help him rehab out. That's what I would love to do. But, you know, he's got to make the move. I'm not going to do it. I already did. I already reached out.
Right.
And then we reached so far, you know.
Well, so having someone like Taker, or even someone like Kane, who is 6, these gentlemen are very tall. If they're, you know, their hips and their knees are feeling better, and they can credit it back to your yoga, that gives you huge credibility. Even someone like Kevin Nash, who's known for knee issues.
I'll tell you what, of all the guys, Nash would be in the top percentage of really flexible guys. And he has my original DVDs, and he finally owned up to when he said he uses a lot of the moves, you know, that he got out of that. Because we still have never worked out. Because Nash is one of those guys who's got to do his thing, you know. And, I'm going to get him eventually. You know, I'm going to get him eventually. Only because we're too tight. If I can, like guilt trip into doing it. Because he doesn't still get what I'm doing. But eventually I'll get him.
You heard it here first. DDP's coming for you, Kevin Nash. Watch out.
Well, you know, we really do appreciate you stopping by today, and everybody really definitely needs to go by ddpyoga.com and check it out. And again, if you can do it within the next 24 hours, enter in promo code the rack, and you can get 10% off. Or if you prefer, I understand there's a thing you're doing now where if they enter in a certain promo code, they get a signed poster.
Yeah, I think that's it. I'm not sure what that is. The guys are doing that, but probably, if they're real wrestling fans, you'll get a call from me. And, you know, it'll be to, you know, hear what your goals are. I mean, I was on the phone with a girl who's, you know, 300 pounds the other day. And, like, you know, she really wants it. But I'm like, listen, if you're 300 pounds, you need to go. First thing I ask him, are you a reader? Like, are you guys readers?
Yes.
I'm not, no.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. Honestly. Some people aren't. So I'm not either. I now read what I love to read, or when I want to educate myself. And this is funny because there was a guy who, he's actually Miranda Lambert. Are you guys country fans at all?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Right. So what, you know who Miranda Lambert is then?
Yes. So, Mrs. Blake Shelton, yes.
Exactly. Miranda, bus driver, his name is Dave Sherman, and 340 pounds, 350 pounds, got down 40 pounds, you know, and then he hit that sticking point. And I could tell that he was, you know, you lose 40 pounds, you're working hard anyway, you know, to get there. It took about 6 months, you know, or so. But he hit that sticking point, and he put it as a blog on teamddpyoga.com. And I'm on that site all the time. And so I had, you know, when I see someone working and they hit a spot, I don't want them to quit. You know, so, I mean, I want you to hit your goal. I don't want you to quit. And, I said, send me your phone number, bro. And I called him up and, I said, listen, bro, I'm looking at you. I don't need to be a nutritionist or a doctor, you know, an endocrinologist, because regular doctors are quacks. They don't know anything. An endocrinologist do. And, I said, you have a weed allergy, and I would bet my life on it. So what I'm going to tell you is, if you want me to help you, if you stop eating wheat and dairy for 3 weeks and you don't feel a difference, then start eating it again. But if you feel a difference and you stick with it, he said, you're on. So he started that. 3 weeks later, he calls me back. He goes, Dallas, I would never believe in a million years. He goes, how much better I feel. I mean, it's ridiculous how much better I feel. And, you know, he said that, you know, I was hitting the workouts, and he came into L.A. He worked out with me that following week. And then over the next 2 months, 2 months, whatever it was, He got down another 50 pounds. He's down 53 or 40 pounds. He's under 270 now for the first time since high school. He
wow.
sends me a book. He sends me a book. It's called Wheat Belly. His entire family is off of wheat and dairy. And it's really not that hard to do today. Now, a couple years ago, 5 years ago, it was brutal. But now there's gluten-free this and gluten-free that and gluten-free this and gluten-free that. And a lot of it's shit now because there's so many, you know, it's like everybody's trying to just do gluten-free, we're gluten-free. But there are a lot of great companies out there. And on TeamDDPYoga.com, I've got a, and all this is part of the program. It's, there's up in the top right-hand corner, it says gluten-free and dairy-free. Don't eat this, eat that. It shows you, like, I love pasta. Well, then eat brown rice, take out of pasta. Guess what? Tastes way better. You're not bloated afterwards. You know? That's how I got so lean, you know, and feel so much better.
Now, I have a question. You mentioned that you talked to someone who was over 300 pounds. When you consider the movements that are involved with yoga in general, but also with DDP yoga, how does someone of that size do DDP yoga?
Well, Arthur was 300 pounds and 5'6", and he couldn't move his legs. So, you know, he did the modifications and figured out modifications I didn't give him, like putting a chair there. You know, the biggest thing, rust never sleeps. And rust starts in your 20s if you're 300 pounds. And when you're 300 pounds and you're a woman, you're carrying another woman on your back everywhere.
Right.
You know? So once you change your eating, and like I told her, she said she was a reader. I said, read this book. If you stop eating wheat and dairy, I will personally help you through this. If you put the work in, if you don't, I have no time. But it's really easy for me to call someone and talk to them and inspire them. That's what I did with Stacy. I mean, you guys haven't seen Stacy's video yet, have you?
I think I have, yes.
It's the woman who lost 180 pounds in 18 months. It's so inspirational. And now we just put it out. And there's another one up on ddpyoga.com. And it's got her meeting Terry, because she came to Team DDP Yoga looking for inspiration. She found Terry Lang. She realized she wasn't a wrestling fan at all. She saw Carney Wilson on Oprah, and helped Carney lose 60 pounds in 6 months. She felt amazing, looked unbelievable. Then she got pregnant, put it all back on, and now then she put it all, she kept it on, wouldn't take it off. Wouldn't do it. I said, just stop eating wheat and dairy and we'll work out. No workout. She's got to get a lap band and pay, have someone else pay her to say, now I got a lap band. I lost 30 pounds. As long as she's getting paid to lose weight, she'll lose it. And, you know, what really good came out of it is Stacey Morris, who didn't get a lap band, who didn't get the stomach bypass surgery, who learned, ate, got rid of the weight on her own.
Right.
That is always weight. Once they cut into your abdominal and wrap that band around or cut out part of your stomach, wow.
God, you know? That's insane.
That's awful. Insane.
That is what it is. There was $44 billion was spent last year on bypass, and they want to know why insurance is so high?
Oh, I can't. I don't even want to think about that. That just sounds horrible.
Ugh. It is what it is.
Right. But, you know, we really do appreciate you stopping by today. Thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you. Well, we appreciate it.
I had a fun time with you ladies tonight. So, again, thanks for having me on. And if anybody's out there listening that you want to take control of your life. I like to say own your life. You absolutely want to go to ddpyoga.com. And if you put in the rack, you will get the 10% discount. And actually, I'm going to run it all the way through the weekend. I'm going to run it right through WrestleMania. And if you put your number down in there, most likely you'll get a call from me. If you put it in the rack, then you'll absolutely get a call from me. You gotta put the number in now.
Yeah.
Some people don't put the number. And one guy gets me on Twitter and goes, "Hey, you never called me." So I took his name and I sent it to my guy and I go, "Did this guy buy the program?" He goes, "Oh yeah." But he didn't put his number in. So in fact, I go, "Monkey, you gotta put your number in for me to call you. I'm not Kreskin."
Yeah. You actually called me and I was like, "Oh my gosh, hi."
So you know, I didn't know I called you. That's the first time you told me that.
Yeah. Yeah, you actually called me, and it's like a blocked number. Who is this? And I answered the phone, and it's like, you're like, "Hi," you know, because you were actually rolling through a stop sign, and you almost got in a car wreck at the time. I was like,
"Oh, God, that was you. I remember that."
Yes. I was like, "Oh, my gosh." So that was an awesome day, by the way. Thank you for calling me. That made my day.
And it does make a lot of people's day, you know, and that's, I'm just wanting them, you know, jumped up and started so they really are inspired to, you know, believe that they can do this. Like that girl I was telling you, who's 300 pounds, you know, she goes to her doctor. Her doctor, she's not a regular doctor, it's an endocrinologist, which is a real doctor. They tell her, from your blood system, you cannot eat meat or dairy anymore. She's like, "Oh my God, the wrestler just told me that."
Again, we'd like to thank DDP for being here, and y'all stay tuned for the second part of the rack, and we will be right back.
High five.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
About time this fucker called in.
Hey, I was on another phone call. Fuck you.
Oh,
hey, fuck you. And fuck you. And fuck you. Oh, let's turn them off. It's Rocks. One. Fuck you. Will. That's two. Fuck you. Tim. Fuck you. Omega. Fuck you. Lindsay. Fuck you. Jackie. Fuck you. And Subway. Fuck you.
Really fucked. Can I now have our kittens and give one to Jackie, please?
I was just going to offer everybody a cigarette, but whatever.
At least Mace remembers me when he runs down a list.
Yeah, fuck off. Fuck you.
It's basically descended into like a circular roast.
Yeah, it's just another jerk-off podcast.
Like all of a sudden it popped up and here's the whole gang and I didn't have time to even pull up my pants while I was holding my dick.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes, I have been sent by TJ Omega as he is... One told me that my name and multiple orgasms should not be mentioned in the same sentence again, even though I was going to offer to have one to try to get the ratings up.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey, everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
This is the franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivering pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little model warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the 7th moon of Raxor in the Gaxen Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern time zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the Warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the warrior come at you to do it. Now the warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
This is the Masterpiece, Chris Masters, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to the rack. If you are just joining us, you just missed an absolutely epic interview with DDP. So go back and listen to the archive, because I guarantee you we are not going to be able to top that.
What else can you say, I mean, about how awesome that went? We were promised 30 minutes with him, and we got three times that much.
That was amazing.
And it's like we were talking about during the break, we had a flow sheet of questions that we wanted to ask, and he answered our questions, literally answered our questions before we even got to them. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. I was like, did Rock give him our flow sheet?
Yeah. Did we email it to him before the show or something? Because that was, I mean, we're sitting there watching it, and he's talking it, and it's like, okay, there's that question.
I'm just sitting here deleting questions off of a Microsoft Word document when he got to it. Like, when I asked him about closing the doors on WCW, the next question was going to be, what was it like working with Randy Savage? What are some of your memories from Randy Savage? And boom, he went in right into Randy Savage and was like, all right, you just made my job easier. Thank you very much.
We really appreciate it. And as he mentioned, go to ddpyoga.com, use the promo code THERACK, all caps, through the weekend, up until WrestleMania, apparently.
Up until WrestleMania.
You can get 10% off your order like Josh did yesterday, and he got a call from DDP, and that made his day. Lindsay's got a call, and we just spoke to him for almost 90 minutes. And you'll hear the archive if you missed it. So, sorry, stupid graduate paper deadlines, you know. Sorry.
You know, I've used DDP Yoga, but I actually have borrowed someone else's copy.
Right.
And he's just got me psyched. I'm thinking I'm going to be buying my own. I mean, because there's like, apparently there's MP3s and all this other stuff I didn't know about, because I didn't directly purchase it. I borrowed someone else's. I'll definitely be getting my own.
So yes, go out and get it, and go to ddpyoga.com.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you have not gotten it or you have not tried it, try it. Trust me. I am, like, the least workout-savvy person ever, and I tried it, and like I said, I love it. I do it every day, and it's the easiest workout you'll ever do. I mean, the DVDs, the actual workouts, I think the longest one is, like, 25 minutes, and it's so easy to do, and he just gets you into it. He's got a really nice flow to him, and you get, for your price, I think it's, like, $70 for the first set, but you get 6 or 7 DVDs, so you get about $10 a DVD for the cost. And then you also get, like, the guide for the program, and then you get a poster and some other stuff, the MP3s with it, too. So, yeah, go to ddpyoga.com and definitely check it out. Put it in the rack. All caps will get your money off. And a call from DDP.
Besides a call from DDP, did I also hear you mention, Lindsay, that there's a recipe book?
There is, as a part of the guidebook, it's a whole system, and it has different recipes in it that you can try that he recommends. And like I said, there's I think it's a rosemary chicken. It's the cookbooks, or the books in my kitchen, because I use it as a cookbook. But the recipes he provides are really good. They're really easy to make, and I mean, I haven't had any problem with it. I've actually lost about 7 pounds on it. So,
nice.
Definitely check it out. It's easy to follow. It's not like a lot of other diets where it's like, oh my God, I can't have this. You know, going gluten free, giving up the dairy. The meat's been a little tricky, but giving up the dairy hasn't been as hard. Although my occasional hankering for Sonic Blast, but that seems to only happen during TNA pay-per-views.
Well, okay, TNA pay-per-views make you want to shoot yourself in the head, so the fact that it just makes you want a sonic blast is pretty good. But my other question would be, Lindsay, since you purchased and used the system, what about the heart monitor? I mean, how much is the heart monitor?
The heart monitor is like, I want to say it's 30 or 40 here. I was actually on his website.
Well, it's not too bad, actually.
Yeah, and I actually, I didn't buy the heart monitor off his site. You can. He does offer it. I actually had a spare from when I used to work out a long time ago. So, where is his store?
That's kind of what I'm looking at, because I mentioned on the rack, not on the rack, I'm sorry, on Triple Talk Wrestling Radio that I recorded yesterday, that I recently had to, due to extenuating circumstances where I am now all of a sudden forced to save up a ton of money for something, I had to give up my gym membership. And I was looking at, you know, I was talking to you about DDP Yoga, and I was like, okay, well, the DDP Yoga program is $70. If you add the HeartMate monitor, it's $100. And my gym membership was $27.05 a month, rounded up to $28. So I will spend $100 on the gym in 5 months, and I never really got the results that I wanted. That's one reason I wasn't exactly crying when I had to cancel it. So and so I could spend the same amount of money and have a program I can do by myself forever. And how many different programs have something where the lead guy is willing to help you?
Yeah, the heart monitor is actually the heart monitor. I'm sorry, is actually a little bit more expensive. It's 70. So I'm sorry.
But
that's
okay.
You could probably go
to other places for heart monitors as well. And
yeah.
Engage.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Go to like Sports Authority or any workout type place, and I am sure they will be happy to provide.
Right. But he did, and that's the thing that I found really interesting, is it does seem like he really does just want to help people, because my guess would be that if he's selling the heart monitor, he knows it's $70, which is basically the price of the program, and he never said, you know, he never gave any specific reason why you just had to have his heart monitor. He was like, just monitor your heart rate.
Yeah.
It's like I know when you do something, you know, you do have to feed yourself. So my guess would be he is interested in making money. But he just said, get a heart monitor. He never said, buy my heart monitor. So it does seem like he really does just want to help people. And I think that probably comes from the fact that you can't be in the business for as long as he has, especially starting at the age that he started. He's probably been in some horrible pain in his time. So, I mean, my guess would be when he started this, he was just trying to find a way to be in less pain, and he probably just wants to help other people be in less pain as well. Whether it's people like Kane, who has knee issues, or Santino, just being in the business is going to be in some pain, or just helping someone who maybe is having just general body pain because they're 300 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely incredible.
And the one thing I love about his program is, you know, as you heard in the interview, if you go back and listen to it in the archives, because it is an awesome interview, he's very genuine.
Yes.
You know, he's not, you can tell he believes in this wholeheartedly, and he's behind it. Don't die on me. Please don't.
I'm sorry. Water went down the wrong way. I'm sorry.
You know, so he believes in this wholeheartedly, and you can tell that from the get-go, just talking to him. And even on the DVDs, you can tell that he cares. And
well,
I think...
No, go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
I was going to say, you can tell he cares, and that makes all the difference in the world.
Well, one of the things that struck me about him is, and I kind of got this impression from him before, but now having spoken to him, he really is just a regular guy.
Yes.
He's just a regular guy who happened to be fortunate enough to walk a path that brought him a lot of fame. And, you know, I know that you and I, Lindsay, and we put people like Kane on a pedestal.
No.
Oh, shut up.
Shush.
Shut up.
Nobody asked you.
Talk to the hand. Okay, we're talking about Kane.
Wait,
I mean, you don't
wait,
get interrupted.
Wait, hold on. You said talk to hand? When did we travel back to the early 90s?
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did. Talk to the hand because the face isn't hearing it. Anyway, you know, and then obviously we put Kane on the highest pedestal, and then there's people like Jericho that we respect and Santino that we respect. And I love how he uses their celebrity to push his product, but as far as him pushing the product, He just comes like, I'm just a regular guy. I found something that works, and I want to share this with you. And right. compared, and you know, he talked about how much money was made in, you know, weight loss surgery. The diet industry alone is billions and billions of dollars every year. And a lot of, I feel like a lot of weight loss companies take advantage of the fact that people, I mean, because I'm just convinced, and I'm not a doctor, you know, and I don't know anything about weight loss or anything like that, but I know that there's something, some people just put on weight easier than others. Some people can, you know, look at a cupcake and put on weight, and some people can eat 50 and not put on anything. There's something to this weight thing. I don't know what it is, but he's apparently found something that really works, and other people have found something that they think works as well, but they'll charge you $200-$300. I mean, if the weight loss industry is in the billions, you know they're charging people as much as they possibly can, and they're taking advantage of their desperation. DDP's system, the trials, the first system, not even $100. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, you get a whole support system with it.
Right. Again, call up DDP or talk to, he'll call you.
Yeah.
He will call you and talk to you about, you know, and he was talked about this one lady, oh, we'll try eliminating wheat and try eliminating dairy. And I pray to God that I don't, that, because, you know, I, now that I have a much better job and much better insurance, I'm going to go to the doctor and see what I did when I was working out twice a day, 600 calories a day, burning, trying to figure out why my diet didn't go better than it did. And I hope to God I don't have to cut out dairy, because I'm a dairy person. I am. I love it.
Yeah, that's been the hardest. That's been the hardest thing, admittedly, for me to cut out is the dairy. I mean, it's not easy, but once you do it, it's not so bad.
Well, I just recently went through the lovely rigmarole of cutting out soda, and it was a process for me. Like, I've been all my life a big Coke drinker, and I was horrible about it. Like, you know, I live in El Paso, and it gets insanely hot here. Like, here at night, it gets up to 70 degrees at midnight. Okay, so you can imagine how hot it gets during the summer. So I'll wake up, and in the middle of the night, I remember one time I got up, and oh my God, I was so thirsty, and I went to get a bottle of water, but I had drank all the water. So at like 2 o'clock in the morning, I was so hot, I downed an entire, just went to the bathroom, came back out, went to the fridge, drank an entire can of Coke, and went back to sleep. Now, I'm not a doctor, but that was probably not the healthiest thing that I could have done. I was majorly addicted to Coca-Cola. And so, I mean, it was a process. I went from Coke to Coke Zero at the advice of my good friend Richard Dansky, who's also addicted to Coke Zero, and then went from Coke Zero to no soda at all. So it's a tough process. So, I mean, if I have to give up, you know, dairy, milk, fat, and all that for the sake of my health, I probably would. But I promise you, I will cry through the whole thing.
So,
yeah.
So with that, once again, go to ddpyoga.com, use the rack capitals to save money on the purchase of DDP Yoga. According to them, it really works, and you should try it too. We'll check in with Josh as he starts it after he gets back from WrestleMania. We wish him well traveling down 13-hour car ride.
Godspeed, sir. We tried to name drop you in the interview. We really wanted to do it, but we couldn't get it in there.
Yeah, we told him what I mentioned to him before the show, that Josh got it. He thought it was cool and stuff. So it's all good. We really appreciate you going out and buying the product. Really appreciate DDP sticking with us for almost 90 minutes tonight. It's like, you shouldn't have seen the pre-show meeting yesterday.
Yeah, if you heard us last night, it's like, oh my gosh, we only have him for 30 minutes. I wish he would go longer. I hope he goes longer. I pray he goes longer, because we have nothing else to talk about.
Yeah, it was absolutely great, and then we got him for 90 minutes, and if he's still listening, or if he's going to check this on the archive, I just want to thank him again.
Yes.
Absolutely incredible.
So, thank you so much. You have no idea how much it means to us to be able to talk to you.
Yes.
For 90 minutes, especially.
For 90 minutes. I mean it all. I mean, the fact that we are even privileged enough to get to interview him, I mean, that's incredible. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, we should get into some of the show, and some of the show includes the Sheik tweet. Want to get that out of the way at the start?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get Sheiky Baby.
It's time for Sheiky. Well, you're the one I'm obsessed with you. I'm a most handsome boy that's been married in the world, and you're the one I'm obsessed with you. Whoa, what is wrong with you?
A week.
I'm gonna box your ass, and then you're gonna be haunted.
You know, I love that he says that. I'm going to fuck your ass and make you humble. I'm like, if you think you're going to fuck someone's ass and make them humble, you don't know half of the women I know. I'm sorry. There are some really freaky women out there. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Okay. In any event, which one do you want to go first for the Sheik tweet?
Jackie can go first.
Okay. In keeping with the theme of WrestleMania, I got one from that. It says, Rock is going to put over Cena. He make good business. Virgil still no good motherfucker.
Lindsay?
The Jeremy Lin jabroni like Mr. Fuji, Lin eat the cat and smell like dead monkey, or he real man like the At Shack or the Sheiky Baby.
No one is a real man like Sheiky Baby.
Nope.
And here's mine. Hulk Hogan so jealous he not in WrestleMania. His breadcrumb dick fall off, and not he has same skin color as the Snooki.
I almost used that one.
Which would have been 2 weeks in a row, we would have had the same one.
I didn't use that one because I was positive one of you two was going to use it.
Remember, it's @_IronCheek on Twitter. Follow him.
The hilarity will ensue. You will never be bored again.
It lights up my morning every time I see his tweets, just because they make me laugh.
And just to verify, that's
@_IronCheek,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So I guess we have stuff we want to talk about.
Well, we could. Let's get everything out of the way. Let's do some foreplay first.
Yes.
I say, let's do it.
Get the music going.
We have got to get a bumper for
that.
We'll work on it this week. We'll get a bumper for it.
Damn it, you're the producer.
I'll make Talk Omega doing the bumper, we'll see.
Do I need to give him dictation?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, you give him dictation?
Omega.
That's what I mean. You give Omega dictation? Is he wearing a Wonder Bra at the time?
No, we take that off.
Okay.
She likes to set the mood, take it off.
Yeah.
The mood. Anyway, Jackie, should Brodus Clay be given a match at WrestleMania?
No.
No?
No. Neither. I mean, he's really entertaining and all, but no. The WrestleMania is the showcase of immortals. No.
Not the showcase of Brodus Clay.
Right.
Okay. Lindsay, the greatest entrance in WrestleMania history is...
Any of Taker's.
Pick one.
Oh, fuck. I have to pick one?
Mm-hmm. It's not
probably the one at 20.
I was going to say, she's going to say the one at 20. I knew it.
Because that's the only one that comes to mind.
Okay. Jackie, if you were a wrestler, what would your catchphrase be?
Oh, God.
That would be it.
Yeah. Oh, God, there you go. You know, just because I can't think of another one, I'm going to go with that.
Oh, that's a wuss way out.
That is almost as bad as to say something about Tim Stein. Way to make me have to think really hard before answering a question.
But you're supposed to have to think about these questions. You know, spontaneous, you know, off the top of your head. What's the catchphrase? Not over.
Oh, my God, I can't think of one.
Come on.
You're evil.
I know.
Maybe I should steal one from Sheik and have my catchphrase be, I'm going to fuck your ass and make you humble.
There you go. Lindsay, if you had a magical power, what magical power would you want to have and why?
Oh, give her the softball.
I would want to be telepathic so I could read everyone's minds.
Oh, God.
Better fly.
You can only pick one.
Telepathic.
There you go. That would be it, an edition of Foreplay right here on The Rack. So, now you can go on and... What are we going to talk about now?
Actually, isn't it time for our Kane Squee of the Week?
No, I say we do that at the end.
We'll save that a little bit later.
Too much excitement gives me heart palpitations.
Well, then there's the Marine 3.
Yeah, that should calm us down.
Let's
okay,
go
and
that.
There's an ambulance going by. I'm sorry.
Let's go with that. Talk about apparently Randy
Orton. Do you see David Otunga chasing it?
No, if Randy Orton's going to be doing the Marine 3, I think that ambulance is going for his career.
Gotcha. Yeah, if you have not heard the regrettable news, WWE Films has greenlighted a third installment of The Marine, God help us all. And Randy, Mr. No Personality Orton, is going to be starring in it. Thoughts?
Well, first of all, I want to start by saying that, in all honesty and in all sincerity, I have not seen The Marine 1 or 2 because I was a film minor in college, and so I'm kind of over films for a while. So I've not seen any of these films, so I can't really judge their quality. Based on what I've heard, they were not the best. So Randy Orton definitely has an uphill battle ahead of him. I hope he's really a good actor, because based on what I've heard, he definitely has an uphill battle.
The second installment was better than the first. DiBiase was better. I will say this for him.
But they're not casting people with the greatest personalities. You go with Ted DiBiase. Now you go to Randy Orton.
Like, they're going to do any better with Orton?
That's what I'm saying. You're not taking a step up. The only step up is name value. And, yeah. But he's always wanted to do an action movie.
Yeah, they just fed him that.
Sure about that? I thought he put that out on Twitter, but yeah. That's what he says. He just wanted to do an action movie.
Well, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, he would have been saying that no matter what. Like, you know, Randy Orton is Randy Orton. We all know him and who he is. But if somehow the WWE was to cast him in the Broadway production of Swan Lake, he'd say, well, I've always wanted to do, you know, be a ballerina.
Oh, God.
I mean, they say that shit.
All right.
Is he gonna be the crazy psycho, but Natalie Portman Black Swan, and, you know, do the whole snake thing in the middle of the stage, and somebody comes out and whacks him on the ass?
Oh, yeah. We'll get into that later, but that's just something that they say, oh, I've always wanted to do. No, you didn't. You're just putting yourself over. Which is fine. I mean, I understand it's something it's got to do, but I just, I'm a bit skeptical. But he's definitely got an uphill battle ahead of him. So hopefully he'll, you know, prove us all wrong and pull it off.
Think about now, picture Randy Orton in a tutu.
Just saying.
Is it pink?
Yes.
Okay, I can see it.
If we're going to put Randy Orton, got that. If he's a promo picture for WrestleMania, the snakeskin background, maybe it should be like that.
Oh, God. No.
Or Swan Lake, maybe a... Okay, we're starting that.
Find it first.
You were in the trending worldwide.
Get it trending.
Get
it trending, people. I want results, damn it.
Don't make me have to come up to your house and put up a sign.
Randy Orton in a tutu hashtag. Because, you know, hashtags are the big thing this weekend. Because WrestleMania is the social media event of the year.
Yeah. Right? That's, yeah, no. In case that's something else we can bitch about. Apparently WWE is really pushing that this year, because they have a sign in their hotel that says, here are the proper hashtags to use for WrestleMania on Twitter, and you can only use them on X days.
And then they include hashtag Access whenever you're at Access. It's the WrestleMania party, which everyone was doing tonight. What was the other ones? Of course, WrestleMania, and then also the...
Yeah, there's like WM party or something.
Yeah, the WrestleMania party, WM party, and WWE HOF for the Hall of Fame. And CM Punk yesterday commented on the Twitter madness.
Brandy asks, what do you think about all this Twitter madness?
Twitter madness is out of control. It is madness. Hashtag madness. I do think Twitter is a useful tool to help reach our WWE fan base. Do I think we overkill it and go overboard? Absolutely. See, because that's what we do. We grab a hold of something good and we stamp the life out of it. Hashtag! And that's what we're going to do. We're going to be in your face.
God bless you, CM Punk.
He makes a really good point. But one thing that's worth mentioning, and this is either a fortunately or an unfortunately, Twitter is a global thing. And I know the WWE is also a global thing, but Twitter is every single walk of life. No matter what you do, no matter what your interests are, Twitter is there. So unfortunately, WWE cannot prostitute Twitter until it runs out. It's never going to run out. Hashtags. And all these Twitter meetings, this will not be the last Twitter meeting.
No.
These kind of things are not going to go away.
No, it won't. But yeah, they were given a lecture this week of the proper hashtags for WrestleMania weekend and in general how to use the hashtags. Some of them were like, "Are you serious? You're teaching me how to use hashtags? I already know how to do this."
Yeah, but for people that don't, it's understandable, but. I think it's a little excessive on their part, just a little bit.
They really think high on themselves, thinking, oh, we're going to create the social media event of the year. Everyone's going to be tweeting about WrestleMania. Just, you know. But
because, we don't have anything better to do with our time.
Right. Like, no one tweeted about the Super Bowl. That was only watched by 100 million people.
Yeah, no one was tweeting it because they were watching it.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Now, I mean, I do understand that there are some differences. Like, the NFL people, I mean, I think they do want people tweeting about the Super Bowl. But the thing about it is that they also want for the people to be, for example, watching their commercials. Look at the amount of money that people pay for a 30-second spot during the Super Bowl. So they don't want people tweeting during the commercials. They want people watching their commercials. WrestleMania doesn't have any commercials.
Right, but everyone was tweeting about the Super Bowl. That's the point. Every commercial, it was on Twitter. Everyone was talking about it. Everyone tweeted, used a little thumbs and tweeted along as the Super Bowl was on. So I don't think this will be the social media event of the year. I'm just saying. And I heart you, Josh, using the hashtag Randy Orton in a tutu on Twitter. Appreciate it.
We love you for that, man. Keep it coming.
Keep it coming. That's like awesome.
I'm telling you, Randy Orton's gonna come find me and kick my ass. Why is Jackie in the hospital? Oh,
an altercation with Randy Orton, but she's fine now.
Yeah, it's just taking a while for her to grow a new set of teeth since she got an RKO. Just saying.
But speaking of WrestleMania, they're in. You know, Miami, hashtag Access, and we have a little clip we're going to show you right now that took place tonight at Access.
All right, I'd like to draw your attention over right now to the CM Punk signing area, the VIP signing area, where Oliver is about to propose to his girlfriend, or has already proposed to his girlfriend over there, and we hope she says yes. It's happening right now. Yeah,
all right.
You said yes? Well, give it a thumbs up, guys. Round of applause for Oliver! And for his fiance. We'll bring him up on the screen.
Goodbye, chopped liver.
Can you hear us?
The guy just proposed to his girlfriend.
Oh, get a picture, man.
She said yes. We got a proposal over here.
Oliver. Did she say yes?
Yes.
Yes. Nice job, Oliver. Run the
did she say yes?
Yes.
I'm getting what I'm damn ready to get in the picture, all right? I'm kind of promo here, and you're interrupting me.
So we have the... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just have to ask something. Was he throwing a fit because they interrupted his autograph session?
No.
No.
No. No.
If you,
it's really
you have
hard
to
hear everything.
Yeah.
If you watch it on YouTube, it's really kind of funny because Punk is just standing there. He's kneeling down because the girl's in a wheelchair, and he's signing the autograph for her, and then the guy gets down on one knee, and Punk just looks up, and he proposes to her, and Punk's just kind of standing there, or kneeling there, looking around. He's like, what the fuck do I do? I mean, it's just, it was so funny. He looks so incredibly awkwardly adorable. But then he just picked right up on it and just had fun with it, and the Daniel Bryan chant was epic.
Yeah, they should have done that in front of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
He could have stood up, yes, yeah. Oh, God, I hate it.
Mace chimed in, I love the yes chant at the end. Real sweet stuff.
Yeah. So we now have the first bona fide, certified, Punk-approved marriage.
That was just
well,
awesome.
I have nothing to say because, Lindsay, you know how I feel about marriage.
Yes, I know. But maybe that's what he could do for his day job. He could, you know, officiate marriages and Colt could do the receptions.
There you go. There's something.
By the power vested in me as World Wrestling Federation, World Wrestling Entertainment champion, I now hereby declare you man and wife.
There you go.
Works for me. Wow, I said World Wrestling Federation.
You know what? If you can book Howard Finkel to announce at your wedding, then surely you can book CM Punk to officiate.
Yeah, that's pretty win right there.
Because, you know, just a little simple course online, you can be, anyone can be certified to do weddings. Ordained is the word I was looking for. You can be ordained online, apparently.
You hear that, Punk? There's your next job. You could totally be an ordained minister in Vegas. Just saying. The WWE Wedding Chapel, you heard it here first.
I think that's the only thing they haven't done.
You could even have a black wedding theme, where Undertaker stands over the bride as she's strapped to the Undertaker cross.
Oh, God. But this is where I say, Lindsay, didn't we find a story last night about another type themed wedding?
Fucking pathetic, sad, stupid wedding, I swear.
Yeah, speaking of dart-themed weddings, if you want to call this, we were desperate looking for stories last night. And so, like the good little digger that I am, I went out and found something on LiveJournal. And, which I usually don't do, that's how desperate we were. But anyway, they have a story, or they had a story about a couple in Bournemouth, England, and if I said that wrong, I'm sorry, that had a Twilight-themed wedding. Which, yay, fine, whatever, go you. But it got a little obsessive, seeing as, firstly, the couple changed their name from their original surname, which they don't specify, to Cullen. Which, if you don't know, if you don't read the books, excuse me, then, you know, the main character, the male main character's last name is Cullen. By the way, I'm not a Twilight fan, I'm just reading this. I think this is really kind of stupid.
Kind of stupid, really?
Kind of stupid, but the bride also had the replica dress from Kristen Stewart's character. She also had prop hair with it done similarly to the way it's done on the movie, the groom wore tails, which is, you know, eh. And then their entire wedding music was the Twilight soundtrack. They also had flowers, color scheme, bridal bouquet, wedding cake, as a part in the theme of Breaking Dawn, which is just terrifying.
Hashtag just terrifying. Saying. Hashtag pathetic. Hashtag scary.
Oh my God, I didn't scroll down far enough. Apparently they have wedding pictures on here.
Oh God.
And there's one of her in the dress standing next to a bed that resembles what's in Twilight Saga Eclipse. Okay, people. I understand that Jackie and I have a sick obsession with The Undertaker and Kane, but this chick is taking it way beyond what we could ever conceivably do. Just saying. This is kind of terrifying.
I promise you, unless he is the groom, there will be no Kane wedding for me.
Oh, come on, you know you want the pyros as you walk down the aisle.
Yeah, but those are my pyros, not Kane's pyros.
Yes,
just
and
saying, you know.
Speaking of horrible sequels or horrible franchises, apparently Hornswoggle is going to be starring in Leprechaun Origins that's being relaunched by WWE Studios. Because they haven't given us enough crappy movies.
No, and then CM Punk tweeted, I'm shocked you got the part. Little Jimmy passed over again.
He's the only one that fits in the... He's already got his own costume, so you know.
It's really kind of strange, because I have always seen Hornswoggle as this good guy, to turn around and now see him in that role will be a bit strange.
Awkward?
Yeah.
Awkward!
Yeah, I mean, you know they're desperately reaching for films when they're relaunching the Replicon franchise, and they're using a fake leprechaun from their television show to do it. They're just a little desperate.
Yeah. Right. So, from here, I want to ask that I finally be given some relief. Can we start what we restart what we stopped yesterday?
Yes. Play the clip so Jackie can explode.
Yes. I've made her hold it in for 24 hours now.
I've been so exhausted all day holding it in, I had to take a nap when I got home. Just saying.
She needs a release, so, and here we go.
That's right, Ethan. As a matter of fact, I have a breaking scoop just for you.
What's that?
Apparently, on Dancing with the Stars, Maria Menounos broke a few ribs. Poor little thing. Oh, so sad. I mean, not only is she going to have to contend with an injury on Sunday at WrestleMania, but she's also going to have to contend with the two most dominant divas in the WWE. So after we're done wiping the mat with Kelly and we send Maria packing, then you'll have some great footage for Extra.
That's right. The Beth Phoenix and I will be supreme at WrestleMania.
Worst promo ever, just saying.
That. Oh my God. Eve Torres, the Hoski. One of the most dominant divas in WWE. Oh, no. When Rock brought this up yesterday, I went off. And they were like, oh, no, you gotta hold it in. You gotta hold it in until tomorrow. You gotta hold it into the show. And I was like, okay, as long as DDP doesn't hear it, I'll be fine. But that just goes to show how low the bar is for what makes a dominant diva in the WWE. That's unfortunate that Eve is one of the most dominant divas. No, you're not. Sorry. I mean, I have to give her credit. I know she does a lot of, like, martial arts and stuff, and she works a lot to empower women and teaches self-defense, and I commend her for that. That is absolutely incredible. But, dominant diva, no. Yeah, no. So, there's still some question, at least I've not heard anything put out about what's going to happen with Maria Menounos.
She says she's fighting. She's going to give it the old college try and get out there, tape them up, and go out there.
If she's got broken ribs, they're not going to be able to give her any body shots. They're not going to be able to body slam her. What the hell is she going to do? She's going to ride the apron the entire match.
She's going to ride the apron. Kelly's going to take somebody out. Maria will take one punch and get the pin, and that's going to be it.
My hope is that this match, especially after Maria Menounos' injury, is however the hell you say her name, my hope is that this is going to be more of a selling the storyline of Eve versus Kelly Kelly. I mean, Kelly Kelly kind of fucking ruined the angle with that stupid tweet she put out a few weeks ago. Did you guys see that?
I don't follow her due to stupidity.
Yeah, I don't either. Someone used their phone and quoted her tweet to me, and I was like, oh my God, stupid bitch. So Eve has done a really good job. She's improved in this character quite a bit, I will say, since it first started. Mm-hmm. She did do one post, I think it was a vlog, on her website that says, look, I am just playing a character. This is not who I am. This is just something that I'm doing on WWE. Oh, go ahead.
I said I remember that. We brought that up a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and then fucking Kelly Kelly turns around and posts on her Twitter, oh, so you're not really using people? Oh, that's good to hear. And I'm like, okay, we need to sit down and we need to have a talk with Kelly Kelly about kayfabe and not kayfabe.
That's why the meeting happened on Monday.
And I'm like, you know what? I kind of am getting to a point now where she gets on my nerves. And it's kind of that stupid shit that she does that gets on my nerves. But I feel like the more and more she does that, the more and more it helps me. Because if anyone ever had any question as to her level of, number one, lack of knowledge of the business, number two, complete and total fucking stupidity, that kind of shit really proves my point, I think. And so I hope, just because the storyline is going to continue, because they have nothing better to do for the Devious Division, because they're burying Natty under a stupid flatulence gimmick, and Beth is being buried for some stupid reason, I don't know. I guess the most useful thing they could do for this match is have it continue to win. Kelly got the last pin, so have Eve Torres get the pin for WrestleMania, even though I don't know that she necessarily deserves a victory at the Showcase of the Immortals. But anyway, get her the pin and then carry on the feud.
Kane Kittens chimes in, Eve is the dominant diva? What the hell? That's like saying Lita is a virgin and Kelly has talent.
Just saying.
Well done. Well done.
Yeah, I mean,
by the way, if you live under a rock and you don't know what we're talking about, WWE had a meeting on Monday with their talent about how to properly use hashtags and Twitter. So, yeah, and several of the talents were tweeting on Monday about it, which was kind of hilarious, mm-hmm. Especially CM Punk. It was just epic. So, yeah, I just can imagine the guys that don't use Twitter sitting there going, what the hell? Seriously, why am I in here?
Really? I'm trying to picture Kane sitting in that meeting.
That would have been awesome.
And the other thing that I hope other people got, I know Rock got it, but apparently, just to show what the talent thought of this meeting, Jericho posted this picture, this kind of what the fuck am I doing here picture of himself. I think Ryback was over one of his shoulders, and there was someone else in the picture, and everyone was just like, why the hell are we here? And I guess WWE made him pull it down.
Yeah.
But Rock got the picture, yeah, before he pulled it down, so that's pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, really, you know, it's talk to the people that are the problem. Don't have a meeting with your entire talent when they could be doing other useful things.
It is WrestleMania.
It is WrestleMania. We should give our final picks and you know, tell everyone who doesn't listen to Wrestle Talk Radio, Kayfabe, Raw Post Show, just another goddamn wrestling show and every other show we do on the network, that just listen to this show to get your picks, and including the Triple Talk Wrestling Radio on the history of WWE.com, which Jackie and Alan did almost 2-hour edition of last night?
Yesterday, yes. I got it uploaded and sent off to Grand Cotham last night, so at this point we're just waiting for Boss to post it.
So Monday morning, probably.
After WrestleMania, most likely.
But go to historyofwwe.com and you can check it out and all that fun stuff. Follow them on Twitter as well. But let's go through the matches really quick, because we've beaten this horse to death. But
yes.
if you're going to WrestleMania, give us a call, 267-297-1397. Leave some voicemails, we'll play them on CB Radio. Call in the CB Radio if you're there after the Hall of Fame and Access and all that stuff. We'll take your calls and all that fun stuff. Plus Russell Talk Radio on Sunday night as well. But up first, we'll get this one out of the way. Kane and Randy Orton.
Randy Orton, unfortunately.
Yeah, Randy Orton.
I'm going to go with Randy Orton. We've had 21 people on the network and contributors and all that fun stuff. Only two people picked Kane.
And they were not us, believe it or not.
No.
Yes.
We want Kane to go over in every feud that he does, but knowing the WWE and knowing how they book, I just don't realistically think it's going to happen. I will be thrilled to be wrong, but not going to happen.
Sarah Deigen and Brian Blotty of Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show picked Kane. Kelly and Maria Menounos versus Beth and Eve.
Eve and Beth.
I'm with Jackie.
I don't remember who I picked on the other three shows I've done this on, so I guess...
You picked Kelly and Maria.
Okay. That's who I'm going with. Just, yeah. Just put my picks in the chat box and I'll just read them.
We had 1, 2, 3, 4 people go out on a limb and pick Beth and Eve. Up next, the IC title, Cody Rhodes versus The Big Show.
I'm going Big Show by DQ or count out, no title change.
I went straight up Big Show wins the Intercontinental title.
That's what I hope happens.
I'm going with Cody.
We've had a lot of DQ interference and stuff like that, and it's basically split 50-50 almost, Cody and Big Show, so that one's pretty up for grabs. Team Johnny versus Team Teddy.
Team Johnny. Not what I want, but what I expect.
Yeah, Johnny.
Yeah, we're all in agreement on Team Johnny. That was mostly what everyone picked. There are a few people who went on a limb and picked Team Teddy, but including Alan. He picked Team Teddy, but I think that was more, he doesn't like John Laryngitis.
Well, none of us like him, but that doesn't mean that, you know, he's going to lose just because we hate him.
Right. The World Heavyweight title, Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus.
Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan.
Sheamus. We're split there. It was, a lot of people went Sheamus, but there are maybe 8 or 9 people who went Daniel Bryan, so it's pretty much even.
I think that he won the WWE title so quickly, I kind of like to see him have to work for the WHC.
Next up, Hell in a Cell, Shawn Michaels as the referee. End of an era, Triple H versus The Undertaker.
I'm going with Taker. Ask me for the next 30 WrestleManias if he's there. I will always go for Taker.
Yeah, I'm with Jackie. It's going to be Taker.
I went with Taker as well. We had 3 people step out and go with Triple H. One was Spug. Mark,
fucking shocked.
Mark Bombassi? Is that how you say it?
Bontomassi. Menomina. Just say Menomina. It's
Mark
easier.
Menomina and John Gray both picked Triple H. Then we get the WWE title Jericho and Punk.
I'm going with Jericho.
Yeah, Jericho.
Clean sweep, Chris Jericho. Mostly Jericho. We had one no contest, but mostly Chris Jericho was picked by all of our contributors. And finally, John Cena versus The Rock.
I'm going with Cena.
I'm going with Rock.
I am going with The Rock as well. So, and that's majority picked Cena, but there were a few people who picked The Rock, including me, Lindsay, Tim, Kevin Scott, and a couple others as well, picked The Rock to go over at WrestleMania. But that's the quick rundown of our picks.
Now, since we're sitting here talking about WrestleMania, Rock, has Tim or yourself or anyone...
No, we're not. Just, we'll be in the chat room. Chat along with us in the chat room on Sunday, if you're around. We'll be in the chat room. Tim will be in there. I'll be in there. Maybe the ladies will be in there.
We're not going to do what was discussed.
No, we're not.
No.
Okay. Good. Well, I was kind of looking forward to it, but on the other hand, I just want to watch the pay-per-view.
It's WrestleMania. So we'll interact with you guys in the chat room, on Twitter, on Facebook, and all that stuff. We'll social media it up. But, yeah, the other plan.
It is the biggest social media event of the season, so, of course, we have to be there.
Well, we
God,
do it for...
me with a spoon.
We do it for TNA Victory Road. We'll do it for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Would you girls like to squee now?
Well, is there anything else we need to talk about?
We didn't talk about Flair.
Yes. For those of you, again, if you're living under a rock, Ric Flair has been confirmed for the Hall of Fame. He will be there. He will be visible. So look for Triple H to squee all over himself.
Yes, and big up to Dixie Carter for not putting up a big fight and just allowing him to be there and allowing him to have the, you know, the position that he definitely deserves within the community.
The one thing we need to look out for during the Hall of Fame special is any mention of TNA, because that's rumblings of one of the deal points that was talked about, but no one's saying for sure if a mention of TNA would be granted during the broadcast of the Hall of Fame.
If they do, I would be extremely surprised.
If they do, I swear to God, my jaw will hit the floor. This is, and I hope not. I really hope that Dixie didn't do something like that, because this is not about, at least in my opinion, this is not about WWE versus TNA. This is about Ric Flair and the fucking Horsemen. And this is not a time to be trying to put yourself over at the expense of, honestly, one of the hottest group in wrestling history.
But that doesn't mean she's above doing it. I mean, I kind of wonder what Vince promised them for Flair. I mean, either financial or what have you. I'm kind of curious to find out what TNA got in exchange for allowing Flair to appear on the show.
My guess would be, and I could be wrong because I've never met Vince McMahon, but my guess would be that McMahon would cough up more money than he wanted to rather than allowing them to mention TNA on his show.
But then again, he doesn't see TNA as anything.
True.
He's done it for ECW, so it's like, it's TNA and it's TNA.
Yeah, he let Punk give a ROH mention on air. So, I think they could get a mention in and not have a problem.
So, it's going to be one of those things where, like, they're going to let them mention TNA because, like, you're so irrelevant, it doesn't really matter.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, because I don't know why, but when I heard CM Punk talk about ROH, it didn't even faze me, because it was like, yeah, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan came from there, but as far as any legitimate threat to the WWE, they're so far off the radar, it's not even funny. So I guess it does kind of make sense that they would do the same thing with TNA.
Yeah. I mean, it's, we really don't give a crap. Say what you want, we're not going to stop you at this point. But I guess we'll just have to see.
Yeah, so look out for that.
Yeah, so...
nice. Nice eye.
Alright. Oh, dear. I need to look at this.
That made me chuckle.
Just so people don't know what we're laughing about, I'll post it in the chat room.
Okay. That's awesome. Where's the Rock when you need him?
Right.
Exactly. But now you girls want to squee a little?
Yes,
I do.
All right, let's get some squee of the week.
How can I help you?
Sit down.
Listen, I just got set up, and somebody owes me an explanation.
But I
don't even insult me like that. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You are going to give Triple H and Austin to us. And when we go through those two, Edge, Christian, and Rhino, we want them.
Quite frankly, I mean, I'm not inclined to grant your request, you know. I don't have to do this. I'm not...
Is that right?
Yes, it is right.
Kane, would you show Mr. Regal what happens when you get upset? What's he going to do, Cole?
And Kane gets upset.
Are you mad? What are you doing?
Kane's seen him go up in flames. Now!
Okay, you've got your tag team title match tonight against Edge and Christian.
Uh-huh.
You're getting warmer now. You're getting warmer now. What else?
What more do you want? I mean, I can't give you any more.
Kane, even Mr. Regal has a problem with his memory. He really doesn't understand how serious you are. You gotta take a look.
What the fuck? Sit down.
You can have Triple H and you can have Austin. Okay? I mean, I can't do any more. Yes? You know, I knew you were a smart man. And I knew you'd see things our way.
By the way, I mean, tonight, you tag team title match with Edge and Christian. It's a no disqualification match as well.
Damn right it is.
Okay.
Kane, what do you think?
What the fuck?
He's so cute when he's setting people on fire.
Notice which one of us said that. Just I was going to say Taker's really hot when he's being all aggressive, but...
Well, that too, but... Hey, I'm a mark for the man. I will always be a mark for the man, so. You see how big his shoulders are? I'm just saying.
This is what we do on a daily basis, just so everybody knows.
I come home from work, she comes home from work, we pull up Skype. So check out this picture of Kane I found. Look how big his muscles are. And look at this picture of Taker I found. He looks so aggressive here. It's great. This is what we do.
Yes. It's kind of terrifying. Poor Rock. He has to put up with it always.
Right.
But in case you didn't know what that was from 2001 in the Invasion storyline, or right before, where the Brothers of Destruction were running amok backstage, and they were demanding matches from probably one of the greatest WWE commissioners ever, William Regal. Please God, make him GM. That would make me so happy.
Or you can just watch NXT. He's kind of GM over there.
Yeah, you can watch NXT. He's GM over there. He's genius. Follow him on Twitter, at Real King Regal. He's amazing.
So I want to get your predictions one last time. What will the hair look like on Sunday night?
Oh God. I'm going with Big Evil Short.
I'm going to have to concur. Big Evil Short.
Okay, and color?
I hope
dark
to God,
brown.
Red.
Dark brown.
Kane Kittens goes bald.
Thou art banished from the chat room. We do not mention the affliction of no hair.
Oh yeah, now he's no beard on Kane. Oh, you are so banned. Oh my God.
10-second mute for you. And no cookies either.
Sorry, Kane's Kittens.
The no beard. Oh my God.
That's, you were just like, cruel.
That's like cut right into my soul. Ugh, no beard. Oh my God.
Taker will have stubble hair, according to Josh. So.
That's more of a possibility, but I still say he will have some hair on his head, because if that hood comes off and he's bald, that's going to be horrific. I don't know if you've seen the pictures floating around online, but there was one post that I think earlier this week of him fully bald right after he did it, and it looks horrible.
Here's what will happen. WrestleMania will go on and Taker will come out. He will take off that hood, and if he is bald, watch the news. After WrestleMania, there will be news of a nuclear explosion coming from an apartment in Utah. That will be Lindsay. Rock and I will be deaf, because most likely we will be talking to her on Skype.
Yes, we will
be. So when Rock and I have no hearing and our radio careers are ruined because WWE shaved the Undertaker's head and there's a nuclear explosion over in Salt Lake, you will know why.
Well, I'd just like to point out the only reason Rock wants to listen or talk to me at that point is because he wants to record my explosion when Taker takes that damn hood off.
That's not the only reason.
Yeah, it is.
Right, yeah.
No, it's not.
He's gonna record her reaction to that, and probably my fangirl squee of orgasmic joy when Taker comes out, and I promise you, sometime down the line, these recordings will make their way onto the air.
Well, they'll make it their way into the air on show. And, you know, it's not the only reason. No, because we sit and talk about his hair every single day. You know, I need the it's payoff. I gotta hear the payoff. That's why I wanna be there. The reaction and recording, it's secondary.
He's our enabler, I'm telling you.
I totally am.
He teases us.
Exactly, the picture I found. Hey, Lindsay, look at this picture of Taker I found where he doesn't have any hair.
And then I have to wait for 20 minutes. You're a cruel man.
Hey, I gave you something to squee over before the show, too, so.
Oh, this show has been definitely been squee worthy. This has been maybe the best show we've had. Don't get me wrong, Trish Stratus was absolutely awesome. I mean, woman is an icon in professional wrestling. But we got 15 minutes, we got 18 minutes out of her where we got 90 minutes out of DDP.
Yes, this was a great, really, really good show tonight, and the archive will be posted tomorrow. Thank you
to DDP, oh my God.
Yes, thank you so much for that. I mean, we are still astounded that we got that much. I mean, if you guys heard the squee on the break, you would, yeah.
I had to make them calm down. It was, yeah.
I mean,
come on, you were squeeing right there with us. Don't even lie.
And he is very, very welcome to come back anytime he has anything that he wants to push. Oh, my God. Yeah, definitely.
Yes. You are welcome back anytime you want, sir.
Just call in at any point. We will give you another 90 minutes.
As always, go to dpyoga.com, use the promo code THERACK, all caps, and get 10% off your order.
And apparently it's working because he extended us until WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was only supposed to be until Friday. Now we have until Sunday. So obviously people are buying it. So definitely, definitely buy it and check it out. And, I mean, working out sucks. Okay? Dieting sucks. Weight loss sucks. And the way that I see it is if you are as passionate about wrestling or sports entertainment or whatever the hell you want to call it, if you're as passionate about it as we are, and if it's something that's in every aspect of your life almost, put it into that. Maybe looking at a face like DDP, someone that you know and respect that much, working out with DDP, maybe it'll make it all the easier for you, but you never know unless you actually try.
Yeah. Like I said before, it's probably the easiest workout you'll ever do, seriously. I mean, it's a lot of fun to do. Even if you don't necessarily like working out, you don't feel like it. I mean, it's a great pace. It's a great program. Definitely give it a try. Give it a chance. And like the man said, you know, for everybody that's tried it, they've loved it because he hasn't gotten any DVDs sent back.
Right. And this was something I was going to bring up before, and I forgot to, but I'll bring it up now while we're going out. I've heard a lot of words used to describe DDP over the years. I've heard cocky, I've heard exciting, I've heard, you know, spontaneous, and all these other kind of things. Leave it to Kane, or rather, leave it to Glenn Jacobs to use the word effervescent.
Oh, come on, that's awesome, and you know it.
I know it is, but it's just like, this is why I love him. Everyone else is using all these words, and he digs down and finds effervescent. And also, I do want to thank him for the quote. I mean, that was incredible. And it was good to pass that information along to DDP, too, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that made him very happy. And, you know, we will definitely try to get that quote to you, sir, so you can put that on your website, because, yeah.
Yeah.
That, you know, and again, yes, thank you. Thank you to Mr. Jacobs for that quote. Again, we got that through other sources. We do not know him.
No, we don't, unfortunately. Yeah, we had to dig really, really deep to find someone who was willing to approach him on our behalf. He was probably like, I am not getting anywhere near that Jackie bitch because I don't want to be raped. And so we got it through other people who do know him that were kind enough to approach him on our behalf. And
we owe a lot of favors at this point.
Yes, we do.
And we're not going to talk about how we're going to follow up on that. We're just going to do it. And it's really cool. And he is not, Glenn Jacobs is not someone who participates online. And, you know, it's not that he's a bad person. Glenn Jacobs still embraces the idea of kayfabe and keeping it a surprise. So the fact that we were able to get a quote out of the man is absolutely phenomenal. And thank you to him. And I really do hope that DDP is able to make use of it in some way.
Yes. But on that note, we are spent, completely 100% spent. So we are going to go to bed. But before we go, Jackie, plug your shit.
Okay, well, you can follow me on Twitter at Jackie Feist. Feist is spelled F-I-E-S-T. As I said before, last night I did give the finished version of Triple Talk Wrestling Radio to Graham Cawthon, who is the head of the history of WWE.com. Hopefully he'll be posting it before WrestleMania. So definitely go check that out with me and Alan. We are on Twitter. The show is on Twitter at TTWR1. And I think that's it for me.
Alrighty. Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Lynn's Ward. You can follow the show at WTRV_Rack. And, of course, you can follow Rock and Sock at Wild Talk Radio. You can also visit the website, www.wildtalkradio.com, if you're not already there, and tune in next week because we will have all the aftermath and bitching about WrestleMania and possibly even The Undertaker's head.
Yeah.
Hair.
Lindsay, I want to interrupt you for a second. I got a message on Twitter from someone saying that they had trouble finding you on Twitter because they went to @LINDS Ward. So I just want to take a moment to point out that our Lindsay is LINS Ward.
Yes, L-I-N-S. Don't put a D in there. That's not how I use my nickname. So, yeah, that's why I said L-I-N-S-W-A-R-D.
There you
just
go.
Look for the crazy chick on the picture. That's me.
Well, the other one looks kind of crazy, too. So.
But, yes, definitely come back if you liked us. If this is your first time listening, thank you so much for coming. Again, thank you to DDP and his people for everything. You were awesome. Go buy the product. The Rack, 10% off, all caps,
yes.
At ddpyoga.com. Brock, plug your shit.
Saturday night, CB Radio, we'll be talking WrestleMania. Call us, 267-297-1397. Give us your take. If you're going down to WrestleMania, we know a few people are, so we want to hear your voicemails. And take some pictures for the girls of Kane and post them on Twitter and Facebook, and they'll be able to ski all weekend long over them.
Just bring him to us. Don't.
That too.
Put him in a box and ship him to El Paso. I'll play with him for a while, and then I'll ship him to Lindsay.
Yeah.
So it's Midnight SCB Radio. Check out the 5-hour archive of the show. Kane can re-listen to it again this today, and it made his day go by really, really fast. And that's something good to hear. We entertained someone for 5 hours. That's pretty awesome, in my book.
Sweet.
Russell Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern. Following WrestleMania, we'll give you all the Fallout coverage of the show. We'll have, you know, I don't know who's hosting it. Tim will be there, Omega will be there, and everyone else is to be determined for Wrestle Talk Radio. But we'll give you the thoughts and opinions of everybody on Wrestle Talk Radio. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. We are going to delve into the world of Extreme, most likely, starting this Tuesday night. Wednesday is Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. And you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Alrighty, and that being said, I am Lindsay Ward, and for Jackie Feist and Sir Rockin, we are out of here. Good night.
Bye. I get a good feeling.